services, Lavazzi and Boom1.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 284. I'm Adam, and you must not watch this. And here's Mary Lang.
May the gods look favorably upon you.
And Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Ah, this is where I come in.
Very good. And today we have an extremely packed episode of the show, so we're going to have to crack on. No dawdling, etc., etc.
Yeah, we have so many people with us.
But it's we have, essentially, in a recorded way. We will be talking about the Doctor Who Festival later on. Well, a little bit. I suppose we'll do the festival bit first, other than the bits I've already recorded with Debbie on the ferry on the way back, which is later on in the show. But you wanted to ask me some questions. We'll make it quite quick and brief and punchy.
On the way back, I mean, how do those fairy wings hold everyone up?
You're wasting time, Kirby.
Huh?
You're wasting time.
Sure.
Yes. So, what do you go on then? Far away, and then we'll move on to discussing Sleep No More. Come on, man, hurry up!
Well, the biggest question we all have is how you managed to get Isabella to run up to Peter Capaldi and get that autograph. Give us a story.
Well, the story is essentially
why is a piece of paper such a weird shape?
Because that's the only little pad that Isabella had. She's got a little pad that's that shape. I don't exactly know what the pad is, but obviously the front of the pad has a picture on it, which is the shape of the pad. So the rest of the pages in the pad are that shape for some reason. Right, so at the festival, the top layer or top level, I suppose you'd call it, is the Capitol Suite, which is where they were doing all the photo shoots in various rooms up there. And we were up there quite early getting the Danny Hargreaves photo. And that's where we sort of worked out the layout, and they had little signs saying which celebrity would be in which room at what particular time. So we were able to plan things a bit via that. But during one of the queues, probably the, what would it have been now? A queue we did, oh, Michelle Gomez queue. We noticed as we left Michelle Gomez to re-queue for Peter Capaldi that Michelle Gomez came out of the back door of the room. And Isabella was sort of just happened to be there, and we saw her come out, and she grabbed a piece of her little notepad and ran after Michelle Gomez, because at that point Michelle Gomez signed an autograph of somebody who happened to be sitting on one of the seats there. But
Isabella came up with this all on her own?
No, she specifically wanted to get Peter Capaldi's autograph, and she wanted to get Michelle Gomez's autograph. But at this point, she didn't think she was going to get the opportunity. We didn't think this, but she came out the back. Somebody got her autograph. She then went very quickly after her, but they only allowed that bloke to have his autograph. So she said sorry to Isabella, and she went on her way. So from that point, Isabella decided to be a bit strategic. So after we'd gone through and had our photo with Peter Capaldi, me and Debbie were going to go through and have our photo with Mark Gatiss, which was immediately afterwards, but in the same room. So we queued up for Mark Gatiss. They stayed in the lounge area, and lo and behold, Peter Capaldi came out the back, and she just dived in, got his autograph, and off he went. So, yeah, I mean...
So you weren't shoving her, saying go, and she's going.
No, she was there, ready. She let up. Yes, I did post a photograph of it's not a weird photo because it's sort of off his legs are a bit weird, but that's basically him, her chasing after him to get the autograph. So he was walking very quickly, and signing it as he went. But there was
Master.
Yes,
you were saying autographs were not allowed, but this was kind of stuck in.
Yeah, they were stopping it. There was the point in which Jenna Coleman walked past the queue for Peter Capaldi, and this little kid ran out to try and sort of get her autograph and was knocked flying by one of the security people. They all carried on. He didn't get his autograph. She carried on and to her photo shoot. But, yeah, they were stopping it, but obviously a couple of opportunists were able to get. I'm sure other people got them as well, and in that sort of way, they were able do it in an opportunist way. Mm-hmm. I mean, in some ways, I suppose if I thought about it in advance, when we met Toby Haydock very early in the morning, I could have said, Toby, could you take this, get some autographs for Isabella, and we'll meet you later on in the day. But I didn't think of it at the time, you know, because Isabella didn't mention about the autographs until a bit later on. But there you go. But I personally think photos are better than autographs. I'm not really that interested in autographs because I can never be 100% convinced it's the autograph of the person that it's supposed to be, unless I know I've got that autograph myself.
I'm not totally convinced that my Tom Baker autograph is really it.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. So if you bought someone else, you're not 100% sure, are you? But the photograph, you can't dispute it, really. I know some Photoshop people can be quite... You know,
so
clever.
Did you have much of a conversation with Toby Haydock?
Yeah. He's very kind, actually, because I was texting him leading up to the event, and we're trying to arrange a time to meet. And when we got there, I said, well, I'm here. He said, where are you? I said, well, I'm in the queue. And he said he was on his way down to the queue. That didn't work. And then I said, I'm leaving the queue. And I said, I'm upstairs, room 8. And he said, right, I'm on my way. We were queuing for a bit, thought we were going to be a bit of a while before we went in. And he came along. We had probably about 5 minutes with him before we had to go into the room, and that was it. It was a bit of a shame we didn't, you know, arrange it for one of the gaps. There was a gap after the Hargreaves photo, which you could have arranged to meet him, had a longer chat with him. But, yeah, that was quite good. That's why I have a quick snapshot. And I've been communicating with him this morning. He's going to come on and... we're going to have a chat about his weekend, because obviously he was the compere of the event, really. He did the main interviews with all the celebs, so
cool.
We'll be chatting with him. And there is a section of this show later on. That's why I said it's quite a chunky show, in which I recorded his interviews on stage with Jenna Coleman, Michelle Gomez, and Peter Capaldi, Stephen Moffat, and Ingrid...
Oliver.
That's the one. So, yeah, it's lots in this show.
It's a chunky show from things from the corners of our eyes.
Yeah. So lots to get on with today. Debbie, unfortunately, was going to come on for the first hour, but Isla's been taken ill, so she's had to take Isla to the doctors. But she will be on the show later on, obviously, because she was with us when we went to London. So,
Now, Adam, yes? You posted a photo of all the guests.
I'd taken that one. I don't know who took that one. David Simon actually originally posted that one, and I just shared the link for that one.
Okay.
But that was taken, I think, on the Friday. We went on the Saturday. Because on the Friday...
That was a really cool photograph.
Brilliant, yeah. I just wish I could have been there for that one. But apparently on the Friday, there was only 1,500 people there, and the cast actually went and welcomed the queue, and there was pictures of that posted on Facebook. But on the day we went, there were 7,000. It was a full
only 1,500 people. Oh no, they're gonna cancel the show anytime because no one's coming to any of the conventions.
No, it's mainly because the kids were still at school that day, and most of the people could go at the weekend. So I think Sunday sold out as well. But all in all, a fantastic event, and obviously two highlights, really, obviously meeting Capaldi and Gomez, who are such charming people. Walking into the festival hall, seeing the Lavazzi stand and actually seeing Melinda in there, Melinda! And actually meeting him, that was a real thrill and great fun.
Yes, Master.
And yes?
Did any of the people connected with the show, showrunners or actors, make any comments about your shirt?
Gatiss said, "Ooh, podcast." And then Debbie said something. Later on, she relays the story herself. Said it's only a little one. I said, "No, we're not." I can't remember the rest was that sort of banter, you know. And then he said sizes and everything or something like that. But yeah, there was a little bit of a conflict. The Gatiss and the Nick Briggs situations, it wasn't a big queue for them, unfortunately. So you could have a bit more time. But Capaldi was just, hello, goodbye, sort of thing. It was there wasn't much you could say to
them. But I do find it interesting that Capaldi was in costume for the pictures.
Yeah, I think that's what he wears. It's like... Sylvester McCoy, that's just the clothes he wears. I think they've sort of modelled him on his own wardrobe, really.
He does wear those, okay.
Well, I think he may have doctored it up a little bit, but it is certainly I think he was in his normal clothes.
Yeah, when I met Sylvester, he was not really in costume. He just looked like
But his
Sylvester.
Clothes are quite similar, or were, when he was the Doctor. Those were the sort of his...
If Sylvester had been in costume for his latest role, he would have had bird crap coming down the side of his head.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Master?
Yes.
Master, did you run into anybody who listens to us?
No. The one that took a picture of a cosplayer who said he would listen because Debbie told him that it would be on the show, but obviously it was a photo, so she meant to say it would be in the 20 megabyte Facebook page, but she hadn't posted any of those yet. But no, nobody. No, as far as I know.
Even though we had several of our listeners who were there, I believe Alan T. Butcher was.
No, I didn't. So, the only person there. I saw that may have listened to the show was Henry Mendoza, who was the chap who last time supplied me with the Colin Baker autograph opportunity. So, yeah, they may have been around, might have been a bit shy. I didn't want to say anything like that. Our listeners tend to be when it comes to feedback. So, never mind. Doesn't matter. It was a great day. Right then, moving on. Right then, you must not watch this was the first line. That's also my quote of this week's episode, Sleep No More. Which it's really weird when you're waiting for the title sequence to come and it never arrives.
But we knew this. I don't know why so many people are complaining about this, because the BBC announced that there would be no title sequence at least 2 days in advance.
Okay. Well, and I mean, not everybody hears every little bit of news.
Attention to those things.
Not everybody hears everything. And then, obviously, like I say, Trevor Horn comes on the screen and talks about Frankie Goes to Hollywood and the Buggles. And then we hear Video Kill the Radio Star play. Oh, no, we don't. Sorry, that's a different thing altogether, isn't it? Yeah, basically, he's there on video, and he's going to tell the story of what happened via all the video links that have been available.
And he's so much better in this than he was being... from Adventures in Space and Time, where he was attempting to do a Troughton and failed miserably.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Can I just ask you, what's your name again? Kirby, isn't it? Do you remember just after he said, this is a story, and then a load of letters and numbers came up on the screen?
Yes.
Did you see the word Clara Oswald in the middle of the screen?
Yes of course.
Well, everybody's name was in that.
Not everybody, but actually I guess they were, because there weren't that many people in the cast.
Yeah,
I froze the video on my monitor, plus I've got it frozen right now at that point.
Okay. So, anyway, then we start meeting the cast, for instance, Chopra, and they sort of do it in a file way. They stop it and do a strange little scan of the faces of the members of the crew. And there's this strange sort of character who's a bit
Master.
Thick. Yes.
Master, it's too bad that we're not having a quiz, because I wrote
down. I'm not saying we're not having a quiz. I'm saying
all the information.
We're not having a quiz yet.
All those characters.
No, I said we're not having a quiz yet. It will come up, so you have to keep these things in mind. So you meet the Japanese commander, and there was this chap who was like a manufactured soldier, which is not a very new idea in Doctor Who.
Not a chap, woman.
Oh yeah, sorry, it was a woman, wasn't it? Sorry. Does look like a chap, though, doesn't it? Am I wrong in saying that?
But everyone kept saying her.
Yeah. I don't deny that.
They all referred to her as a her.
Yeah. 5 years old, and rank is Grunt, apparently. Yeah. And the name was 474, which is, again, is a nicked off Star Trek a little bit, isn't it? Her name was 474. You're going a bit blank. I'm talking to 7 of 9 from Star Trek.
Yes, I know what you're talking
about. No, because you didn't agree with me.
A sip of Diet Coke, because it is 5:26 in the morning.
Oh, God. Same old excuses, eh, Mary?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, I've got the same excuses. I'm drinking coffee.
So something's in the station. Very cleverly, they've shot it, so it's so much in the shadows. You get little glimpses of them initially, which is really, really cleverly shot, actually.
The best way to watch this is turn out all the lights in the room so that you can see as much detail as possible.
And then the Doctor and Clara sort of randomly appear while just poking around. and then they sort of obviously get embroiled into the situation quite quickly. So basically,
I
I
like them just showing up like that because it gives me a better sense of, you know, how they tend to arrive on the scenes of things.
Yeah, you get the sort of an idea of the people's viewpoint of the Doctor arriving somewhere rather than our viewpoint. Which, I suppose that's a new way of looking at it.
Engineering stress assessors.
Pardon?
Engineering stress assessors. That's what the psychic paper said.
Okay. So the Doctor dips his finger in his mouth and works out what year it was. I love the
Tuesday.
Way he does that. Tuesday. I love the way he does that. He obviously really has just looked at the TARDIS scanner he's trying to make out. Is that tuned in to the universe that he can do that, which is quite funny.
Excuse
what?
Me.
What?
I was yawning.
Oh, sorry. so basically they're sort of plodding around the ship. There's a moment in which the grunt attacks Chopra, doesn't he? Because he gets a bit violent, so he's tuned into attacking violence with violence in a way. But he doesn't want to do it. He's sort of like, it's quite interesting. Sorry, she doesn't want to do it. Oh, good grief! Mm-hmm. I get easily confused.
Yeah, it is a little confusing, you know.
Yeah. So lots of shadows, extremely dark. Very interestingly shot, and the sand creatures, I quite like it when their arms sort of dissolve into sand. It's quite clever. So that's basically what it is. It's a whole episode of going around various rooms, hiding from these creatures. They find this room that has a couple of pods in it, and within one pod, well, Clara gets stuck in one of them, doesn't she? They compact sleep from a whole day into 5 minutes or something. It's like that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, 5 minutes.
So you can have more time awake. But there's quite fun in
working,
sleep.
Working. Work.
Again, Clara gets a load of tubes stuck to her face, rather like she did in the Dalek story.
They're probably the same tubes.
Could be, yeah. And then they find the bloke from the Buggles in the other pod.
I love the use of Mr. Sandman, the song.
Yeah.
It just reminds me of Back to the Future.
I read that it was from Back to the Future, but I'm not sure. Now, the song has been used in Doctor Who before.
Yeah.
So, Adam, Master, when?
What?
When trivia question for you?
I don't know.
You should know. It's one of your favorite. I'll narrow it down. One of your favorite Seventh Doctor stories.
Go on quickly because I haven't got much time.
It's being played during Delton the Bannerman during the dance in the
first episode. Yes, of course it is. Yes. Well, I was thinking more. I think I associate it more with Back to the Future One. Which is, I think, one of the earlier parts of when they first arrive in the 1950s. Then we see some strange sort of video stuff going on and little dancers and things.
Oh, I love that part.
Yeah, okay. Nothing.
Why? I'm not supposed to love that part? Maybe. Now,
if you love it, it's fine.
When the ad for Morpheus comes up, I posted a little comparison picture of the Morpheus ad with someone in the hand compared with the classic TV show Monkey.
That's very good. Yes. Me. Yeah. I hadn't considered that, but yeah, when I saw the pictures, I thought, yeah, brilliant. But Monkey's brilliant. So it's nice to have a reference to it in Doctor Who.
I'm fairly certain that was deliberate.
Well, I should hope
so
too.
So close.
Yeah. Well, you might say that, the Sandman song might be a nice little pay the tribute to the anniversary of Back to the Future.
True.
Yeah.
There's lots of little hat doffing to various things.
The British, as I understand it, the British really loved the TV show Monkey.
Oh, yes. Absolutely brilliant series. Loved it.
And Mary, have you even seen it?
No, never.
Other than the I hope you watched a little clip that I posted the link to.
Yeah, I did. No, I've never heard of it before.
No, it's a great show. So obviously, I haven't watched it since it was on. And it was on in the, what was it, the late 80s, early 90s?
Something like? Late 70s, early 80s.
Well, it might have been in America.
No, it was filmed and put on the BBC.
Oh, was it? That long ago?
Yes.
My goodness.
I'm a monkey expert. I know all things Sun Wukong.
Expert. Okay, right.
Mary, to both of you, that one scene is something that would not be shown on TV here in America.
No.
Why?
The peeing.
Oh, okay.
So they're sort of going around these dark corridors and gradually being picked off by the sand creatures. What are these sand creatures called? Sand creatures?
Sandmen.
Sandmen, that's it.
I like that little change between Clara and the doctor where he says, no, you don't get to name things.
Yeah.
But I noticed I have corrected several people on Facebook because that's my way.
Is it?
Yes, it is your way.
A lot of people didn't quite understand why he said that and did the correction, why he brought up the Silurians. It's because back in, I believe it was, what's the episode that was filmed partially on the Isle of Wight? Third Doctor.
Sea Devils.
Sea Devils, yes. In Sea Devils, remember, it's 5:34 in the morning. In Sea Devils, the Doctor notes that they shouldn't technically be called Silurians. They should be called Eocenes. That's why he's complaining about the naming, because they're named wrong.
There's lots of handheld camera shots, which obviously have to be used because these camera images are supposed to be from the people's eyes, because like the sand in people's eyes, as they're able to use that to get into people's minds, I suppose. Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I've got something right. I only watched this once.
The conclusion.
Yeah. I did have a lot of sleep in my eye this morning, which is rather weird. After watching this episode, I watched this last night before going to bed. And also the fact, you know, we had this thing earlier in the series where the Doctor looks straight into the camera. It's far more acceptable in this one because you know straight away he's looking at someone, whereas the previous time we weren't sure he was actually looking at someone, but now I'm more convinced he was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Master?
Yes.
What was the accent that Nagata was using? The one where she was... The end of almost every sentence she was saying, Pet?
Probably Geordie. Pet is a word that Geordie's used, so I would say.
And where does that indicate? What is that?
Newcastle.
What's Geordie?
Newcastle. That's where I went for a wedding to see my family in September, up in Newcastle.
Newcastle, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So that cross-hatching on the grunt's face was because someone took Cole to Newcastle?
Quite possibly.
But a bum.
So the Doctor eventually he finds the interface, doesn't he? That shows what everybody can see and what everybody is, what's being monitored and stuff like that. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And then there's a moment in which I think is supposed to be quite sad and moving, where the grunt saves Chopra's life, pretty pointlessly, really, because Chopra does end up getting killed pretty quickly afterwards, and then sort of gets himself killed in the... Sorry, herself killed in the process. And then we're left with very, very few people at the end of the episode. They basically... This is something that doesn't happen very much in Doctor Who. The situation's still going on, and they basically... They're trying to get back to the TARDIS, and they get it back to the TARDIS and basically skedaddle out of there when it's still... It's still very much going on the spaceship, which is something that...
Which worries me.
Why?
Because although although the story was good, I don't want the sleep monsters to be the reason that Clara dies.
Don't you?
And that could be why, because who knows? Maybe she still has it in her eye and is going to turn into
doctor's,
sand.
The doctor's motto is the doctor saves people. He was in a quite a difficult situation there, wasn't he? But the fact that the sleep in her eye business, it reminded me a little bit of Amy when she thought she was turning to stone. Do you remember?
Yes.
Yeah.
But anyway, right. So I know that was a bit brief. The story is quite.
There was something else I was going to bring up.
Just think on it for a moment. But although this was, you know, it was quite a lot going on to a degree, the story was quite basic. You know, they're just trying to get away from these monsters, and they sort of did. Carry on, Kirby, because I'm just about to say what I think of it.
In the rewatch, I was thinking that possibly the Rasmussen that they run across, who's hiding in the Morpheus chamber, was the real Rasmussen. And when you see him get killed by the Sandman during the gravity shields incident, that's when he actually gets killed.
Okay.
And then from that point on, when we see him later back over in the ship, that's the one that we later find out the Sandman is who creates the whole video in the first place.
Ooh.
So I believe we are dealing with two different Rasmussens, a real one and his duplicate.
Okay.
Well, right. But this brings up an area of real confusion for me. I mean, they talk about killing people, but then there's also converting people. And I don't know which is which, because, like, yeah, Rasmussen looks like he was converted, not killed. And then the doctor's referring to Clara because she's been in the Medusa machine. Is it Medusa?
Morpheus.
Morpheus machine.
Morbius.
You know, the suggestion that she's in the process of being converted. So, I mean, like, who do they convert and who do they kill? Is it one and the same? I don't know.
Well, also recall that the whole idea of how it happens changes between the narrative and what we're told, that it's from the electronic glitch that you're supposedly during the explanation you get converted by being hooked up to the Morpheus machine, but you really get converted by watching this video, and the glitch has it. So it's deliberately made to be unknowable.
Well, okay, because I mean, like, everybody else on that ship except the one crew member, they all have been in the Morpheus machine. So why aren't they converted?
This is what I thought of this story. It was it was interesting for the way it was shot and the sort of innovative idea of the way the story was told. It's brand new to Doctor Who. New monsters, great. A similar situation that we've had in a few New Who stories, you know, the dark corridors chasing away are being chased by monsters, etc., etc., which is fine. But as far as this series goes, it's the worst episode of the series. Didn't really enjoy it that much. I was getting a bit worried because it got to the end of the episode and I was thinking, oh my god, I hope this isn't a two-parter. And it wasn't, so it's just as well it was a one. If it had been a two-parter, it would have been disastrous. Yeah. But as a standalone one-off episode, it was okay, but certainly for me the worst of the series. And probably if it had been last series, it would have been a mediocre episode from last series. So it had to happen at some point. Didn't really enjoy it that much. It was okay. Capaldi, it was brilliant. But for me, that was it. What do you think then,
Master,
Kirby?
Master.
Yes, I'm listening.
Well, I'm trying to wait until the dog stops.
We've got cars and dogs. And
were you in the room when Gatiss basically introduces one of the Sandmen?
No, I missed out on that one, I'm afraid.
Because I thought that was interesting that they actually showed the Sandmen were pretty much secret until the show was on, but people who attended the conference were able to see.
No, well, the thing is, so he was in the MFX show, which was right late in the afternoon, And we were in the festival hall at that stage, taking advantage of there not being that many people there and buying a few bits and bobs. So we missed out on that particular show. And also we managed to get away fairly early and catch an earlier ferry. So we didn't stay until six. We left about 5:15, which enabled us to beat the crowds of people leaving and get on the motorway nice and early and get back for an earlier ferry, which meant I got home about 10:15 in the evening, which was quite nice.
What bits and bobs did you buy? I haven't seen any pictures.
Oh, they're all Christmas presents that Deb's bought for me. I got a replacement jumper coming, which is because my cricket jumper's a bit worn. So I've got one for best coming. And, I got a little Sixth Doctor Pussycat lapel badge, which is quite unique. And not available apparently online yet, so that would be quite nice. I suppose by the time I actually wear it, it will be available online. A few little bits and bobs that are, you know, that aren't that, you know, that are quite unusual. I think my in-laws are going to be getting a Capaldi T-shirt, the ones that look like the costume, one of them. So I was looking around the place. Loads are really interested. The things you would really have wanted are really expensive. There's some amazing stuff there and couldn't really afford it. What I put on this jacket, a 11th Doctor's, purple heart type jacket. I thought, this is lovely, how much is this? And it was £230. So some things are just a little bit too expensive, but if you're a cosplayer and you've got money, the great stuff. Yes,
I can't even recall seeing any pictures from anyone of a vendor area where you could buy stuff.
I did actually post a panoramic of the festival hall.
Yeah, and within that panoramic.
Picture, yeah, within that picture there's the place where you buy stuff. But anyway, so did we get into the what you think of the episode part
not
of things,
yet.
Kirby? Well, carry on then. I told you I've got to compact a lot into this show.
Apparently, I am unusual in that it was okay.
That's what I said. Just
I'm hesitating to condemn it. Like,
I'm not going
to
condemn it. You just got to compare it to the current stories, isn't it? It's not as good as.
Like, yeah, but like. It was average, but there's nothing wrong with average. It's not something that I'll never watch again.
No.
Me
neither.
To be, huh?
Me neither. I'm not saying I never watch it again.
I found it to be a little too much the same as other episodes, which is the main thing it suffers from, is they sacrificed newness. They sacrifice story elements for the point of view shot business.
Yes.
And that it could have been done better. As far as ranking it on the Gatiss scale, it's still much, much better than Victory of the Daleks.
Yes.
And much better than that stupid one with the little boy who's the cuckoo.
Yeah,
and the
I still like those stories though.
Huh?
I still like those stories though.
Yeah, I mean, but it's probably in the middle of on the Gatiss scale.
Okay, that's fair enough. What do you think, Mary?
Well, I made the statement that you weren't the only one that didn't care for it, because there's several comments even on the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook page of people that are disappointed in it. So. Me? Okay. I love the Doctor that Capaldi has become.
Capaldi.
Whatever. I think this Doctor, this season, is closer to probably what Capaldi is like as a person.
Capaldi. I didn't say it faster because I had my mouth full of Diet Coke.
I actually like the companion that Clara Oswald has become. She's clever. She has great interactions with the Doctor. I love their banter and the way she has come to, depend on him. She's smart, but she still relies on him. So I like them as a couple. And I think...
Capaldi? You like them as a couple? Anyway,
sorry. As a couple, anyway.
That was quite good. That was a pun,
actually,
Kirby.
Because of how they have progressed together, I'm actually going to miss her when she goes.
I will
like
all
the
miss her.
The two.
Me too.
Yeah. You can't miss her. She's a great character. She's a great actress. I love the character of Clara. Yeah,
I mean, and I never faulted her for, you know, the writing and, you know, and the situations that she was put in before. But she was always the dominant character all last season, and that just annoyed the heck out of me. So I like her much better this season. You know, and when she's not with a doctor that is her boyfriend either, you know. So this is the first season in which I'm really enjoying the Clara character. And I liked the point of view camera work, because that always adds, you know, excitement and a jitteriness and all that to a story. But I'm telling you, the story really falls flat for me. I never did understand those the creatures.
They're just monsters.
Never clear to me, except one time when they said they were near the planet and that was causing them to fall apart. I never understood why they fell apart other times. Yeah. Like what suddenly made them dissolve?
Yeah.
I don't know. And then I've already mentioned my confusion about, you know, who do they convert? Who do they kill? It's not clear at all. And until they actually showed up, you know, and they were kind of interesting to look at. I thought maybe the planet was having an effect on them, you know, because there's other stories, like the movie Solaris, where the planet is affecting people's brains and bringing about their, you know, their greatest desires. There's the big Finnish story Psychodrome, where the planet is bringing about their greatest fears. You know, so I'm thinking, okay, at first the planet is doing this, and then, well, no. I guess it's an actual monster that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. What else was I thinking? I just found it kind of confusing, kind of annoying. I would rank this probably about the worst of this season.
Yeah.
And I agree with you, Adam. If this one had been on last season, I probably would have thought it was one of the better ones.
Okay.
But yeah, and I was so excited to see this story because, ooh, finally we get, you know, outer space and spaceships and all that. Well, it just turns to be another base under siege story, which we've seen again and again, and not all that exciting. And it ends enough on a mysterious note that I thought that the theme would carry over into the next story. But you look at the previews for the next story, and there doesn't seem to be anything.
No.
About this, yeah, but who knows? It might show up
Diagon Alley next time.
yeah. So yeah, I was not impressed. And when I looked on the Facebook page and saw that several other people were not impressed either, I thought, well, okay, I guess I'm not the only one.
Okay.
Did anyone other than me laugh out loud when during the discussion where? The very first section when the doctor and Clara are
about
space.
Yeah, space in front of everything, yes.
And she says, what about spacesuit? And the doctor says, pedant.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was some good lines in that. Yeah, I can't deny that, but it's not what do you expect?
A very quotable one.
Yeah.
Lots of good lines. Lots of good banter between the two.
Let's move on.
Trying to get rid of us?
No, I just got lots to fit in. I've recorded loads for this episode.
He's online, and he wasn't answering. Good grief. He just posted something.
Mary's already explained that one.
Why did you make us get up at this terrible time in the morning?
Yeah, if you don't want us.
I do want you, but I just want to be a little bit more punchy, a bit more, you know, bit slicker.
We're kind of punchy because we're...
No, you're not. I need it to be punchy. Moving on, here is some feedback.
Hello to everyone at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. This is Patrick from North Hollywood with my feedback for the episode Sleep No More. You know, I've watched it twice now, and I still don't know what to think about it. I'm more confused than anything, and maybe you guys can help me out. I'm not sure. At the end of the episode, as they're rushing towards the TARDIS, the doctor is saying, you know, this doesn't make sense. Why are these things happening like they are? And they get in the TARDIS and they leave. And then you see the scientist at the end who's been on video telling you that, you know, this has all been a ruse and he's actually a Sandman. But, you know, we saw him get shot before. So who was that person that got shot? I'm kind of confused. You know, the recording, the found footage recording is a ruse to get people to watch it so they can be infected by the Sandman. So was that all a dream? You know, I don't think it was.
As it were.
I'm confused. I need your help. I know. Kirby has the answer. Kirby, tell me what's going on. Anyway, you know, I enjoyed the episode, but again, I was just kind of confused at a little bit about what the gist of it. Another thing is this a one-off? Because the preview for the next episode didn't seem to correlate at all to what we just saw. Now maybe it's just hidden in the plot of the next episode. But at the end, you know, it could have been like a to be continued. But you could have just ended it just like it ended. So I don't know if it was a one-off or part of a two-parter. My suggestion is, you know, it's going to come up again because, you know, we've never had. We rarely have a Doctor Who episode that ends with the Doctor being confused about something, and that's the end of that story. So I'm sure it'll be resolved next week, I hope. But I'll probably have to watch it a third time to get it. But the story itself, within the context of you know, the base under siege, was good and interesting. But, yeah, I'm still a little bit lost, unfortunately, after two viewings. So it wasn't bad, just puzzling. And yeah, that's what I can say. The last episode was probably the best of the series, and this one wasn't the worst, but it was the most confusing. So hopefully it'll be resolved, or things loose ends will be tied up, and we'll find out what's really going on with the Sandman. All right, okay, that's my feedback, and hope you guys have a great week.
Thank you, Patrick. I will say there's no to be continued at the end of the episode. So no, from that I would say it's just a one off. What do you reckon, Kirby?
I'm still worried that it's going to be the reason that Clara dies.
Well, let's hope not then.
Wait. Because, yeah, remember I said because the doctor indicates that some conversion process has started on her and it's never mentioned again. She just says, oh, it's going to be all right, though, isn't it? And he goes, oh, you know, whatever his answer.
I think because he knows that she is going to be departing soon, but he can't tell her that. He just knows it, but he doesn't know how yet. So he's just sort of waiting, isn't he? Waiting for her demise in some ways.
That's one of those things that makes me think this story is going to continue somehow.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
We have more feedback. This is from a chap called Jason Chuang, and it's, after watching the latest episode of Doctor Who, I will basically said this about the episode. Pure crap. Mark Gatiss should no longer write for Doctor Who. I also hated his episode last year called Robot of Sherwood. He should stick with Sherlock. I did not like the third-person shooting feeling of the episode. You cannot have great episodes every season. There will always be some bad and or subpar episodes in every season of Doctor Who. Ooh, it's all gone very quiet.
We agree, sort of.
you agree.
Well, I wouldn't say that it was total crap. As I mentioned, there were a lot of good things in it. It's just the story was not good.
It's the worst one of this series.
This is Ian Kirk, pet. Zygella bad. Oz good. Osgood may be human,
what?
Maybe is not. But remember, there is no I.
This is last week's feedback, I think.
I've put things together into some kind of order.
No,
there are bits missing. Sorry about that. I can't find the plot anywhere. Geordies in the 38th century. Well, perhaps. In the 38th century, India and Japan are united. The computer mentions the Shivarati Oshogutsu Christmas party. Shivaratri is a Hindu festival. Oshogutsu is a Japanese New Year festival. May the gods look favourably on us all. Could be a Hindu blessing, for all I know. If one of our listeners knows, they could tell us on the 20 Megabyte Facebook page. The station is orbiting Neptune, closest planet to Pluto. The rescue team is from Triton, largest moon of Neptune. The Doctor and Leela visited Pluto during the Sunmakers.
In the 38th century.
The Doctor gives three possible reasons for the lights being out, including 3-day week. Yeah. There was a coal miners' strike in 1972, and the government decreed there should be electricity 3 days a week. It is not clear whether the monsters were destroyed at the end by the station descending into Neptune. Clara went into the pod. The Morpheus process has begun. Will she be a hybrid?
Yeah.
Amy had a lot of sand pour out of her eye after she saw Weeping Angel in Flesh and Stone.
Yeah.
The words carved on the spaceship in Under the Lake altered people's brains. So does this tape. Dark rooms and flashlights. The X-Files. Stupid clones. Brave New World.
Yep.
Found footage. Mm-hmm. Blair Witch Project. Space station entering atmosphere. Gravity. I do not like this much. Who knew that dust could be even duller? At least there is only one part. Mark Gatiss told Radio Times magazine that he has planned a sequel.
Oh, no.
May the gods look favourably on us all.
Try your eyes, mate. I know it's hard to take, but her mind has been made up. There's plenty more fish in the sea. Try your eyes, mate. I know you want to make her see how much this pain hurts.
Bye for now.
Thank you. That's Ian Kirk, everyone.
Yeah, thank you, Ian.
And I suppose we'd better prepare ourselves for the first ever bit of feedback from Jeff Waddle that has audio connected to it. Oh, good Lord.
Hello, it's me.
Hey!
Not me, me. Me's back next week. More's the pity. Last night's episode, Sleep No More. What an ironic title, it has about put me to sleep. I thought it was terrible. As you know, I'm having major problems with this season or series, whatever you want to call it.
Series.
Didn't like the first episode at all. Liked the second episode. Liked episode 3, didn't like the next one so much. As for the ones we noggin the nog, and the follow-up to that, I thought that was some of the worst Doctor Who we've had. And then to come on to the Zygon one, I thought it was probably the best two stories we've had since it came back in 2005.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell's going on with it all. And then last night's, I don't know. I'm not really bothered if next week's as good or no. I'll get to see the back of this worst companion, for me anyway, since it came back. The unfortunate thing is, with this Maisie Williams, although I've never seen Game of Thrones, she's about as wooden as Clara, so God knows what we're going to do. We're going to have more wood in this than what we had in that blooming awful thing last year about the forest.
Oh yeah.
I don't know where I'm going to go with this. One week it's good and one week it's terrible. I keep hearing that this is far better than last season, but I don't know, I thought it was more even last season.
Evenly rubbish.
What can you do? They put it on, you have to watch it or you don't watch it. I don't think I'll ever really give up on it, but I've come close a few times.
Yes, I know you have.
Who knows? Who knows? We don't even know when we're going to get the next season. Is it going to be next year? Is it going to be the year after? Maybe it's time for a break, I don't know. Anyway, this is about the second time I've recorded a voice. I don't like listening to my own voice, but I'll get better at it, so I'll keep sending in feedback, okay?
Thank you very much, Jeff. Well, we like hearing your voice, don't we, Mary?
Yeah, Jeff, we finally get to hear your voice.
Yes, Kirby.
I have an observation to make about Jeff Waddle.
He's Scottish.
He's Scottish.
Yeah.
Well done. It's very topical. Two of our last three Doctors have been Scottish.
Yeah.
But Yeah, so great. Thanks, Jeff. Keep sending it in. Brilliant. And anybody else who wants to send in feedback, whether it be audio or written, please send it in to 20mb.feedback@gmail.com or join the 20MB.WHO podcast Facebook group, because you can join it. Yes, Kirby.
Master, I suppose you try to push us along, so you don't want us to read any of the comments on Facebook.
No, comments on Facebook would be great, as long as they're relevant to feedback. Please do.
Well, I'm trying to find them. Hang on.
Right. Okay. Slickness again.
Adam Saunders says it's probably an awkward conversation for them to have, but Mark Gatiss should never write for Doctor Who again.
That's been said before.
Oh, yeah. So. I agree.
It's interesting to note, before you move on, it's interesting to note that little video I posted of Debbie fanning herself as she was all swooning because she was just about to meet one of her idols, a la Mark Gatiss.
I must have missed that video.
You have not.
It was a late posting, but yeah, it's nice.
Where you identified the one mystery person in the one picture, I was asleep when you posted that. I was asking who that was before realizing that you had identified them. Jeff Waddle said no. That was the longest conversation about the, which is pretty much a feedback. Oh, wait, where's the one where I asked for feedback? That's got a lot of stuff. Oh, here we go. Daniel von Keulenberg.
Yeah,
I think
Van
I need
Kylenberg,
to watch it again, as I didn't get it first time round, though most of them I don't. What was with the first person views, and did anyone else not get any intro music?
No, what a stupid observation. Yes, we didn't get any intro music because there wasn't any.
And I posted the link to the Radio Times article about that I thought everyone knew about that.
Yes, but Jeff Waddle responded too. He says there wasn't any intro music. Yeah. Apparently, a lot of the names are on a screenshot of a computer screen, a la word search puzzles. Yeah, and I thought that was a good comparison.
Yes. Though I'm not watching again to see, he said.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Mary, can you see anything?
But yeah, there's after Adam Saunders. Did you read their replies under?
No, I didn't.
Okay, when Adam Saunders writes that it's an awkward conversation, Jeff Waddle responds, one or two episodes that have been no more than good out of six or seven he's written is poor by anyone's standards. And Robert Haynes says, we all know he's a much better writer than this too. Maybe too much interference from those that make the show. And Saunders replies, to be honest, this needed someone to interfere with it. A monster made of sleep from your eye, very weak concept. And boy, I do agree.
It was okay.
Yeah.
Anything else?
And then B.C. Moore says, I can honestly say that ep goes straight in my three episodes of Doctor Who that are truly, truly awful.
Oh, I could think of lots of stuff.
Yeah, well, then Jeff Waddle says three? Three? I've got 33, and that's just from the new series.
I think it's probably one of those episodes that will, over time, will become less rubbish. But you know, when you've been in the middle of a load of really good Doctor Who, and you get something that's not as good, it does stand out a little bit.
Yeah,
I don't think it's really that bad.
Last series was so rubbish that
it was
In the Forest of the Night was one of the worst things they'd ever made.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is much, much better than that.
Yes. Moving on then. I'm not going to talk about the Vasi yet because we will be talking about them later on because, obviously, meeting Melinda.
I hope you got him on a recording.
No, I couldn't get him on a recording, I'm afraid. Oh, he was busy selling stuff, and he was very happy about being able to sell stuff as well. But whowon.co.uk are on...
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Yes. And they should have been there.
I have to say it. I'm contractually...
They should have been there. Really. A great big festival hall like that, selling lots of Doctor Who stuff. Nobody really had a specific genre, as in books. And that is what Who One's speciality is, Doctor Who books. And Doctor Who magazine at $4.93, which you can get much quicker if you order it in America from whoon.co.uk. A TARDIS bowl, they seem to be quite widespread at the moment, £5.99 to get your Christmas cereal out of that. Sonic screwdrivers and Jago and Lightfoot, number 10, which is a CD from Big Finish. Lots of really good stuff. Coming soon, more Big Finish CDs. You can get these from whoone.co.uk along with the 2016 Doctor Who annual and various figures and salt and pepper shakers and things like that. Have a look at their website, whoone.co.uk. Before we move on, it's time to move Luke in Devon. I can't even speak. Look at a bit of news. Because the Christmas special is going to be shown in cinemas in the United States.
I'm considering going.
Yeah, me too. I love.
Why can't we get to see it in the
I
cinema?
I love River Song, so I want to. I want to see this in a movie.
Yeah. The BBC have released details for the rest of the series following this weekend's broadcast.
Spoilery! If you want to read, I'm
just going to be careful. So, Face the Raven is scheduled for 8:10. Well, everybody knows the next episode is called Face the Raven, but it's 50 minutes long. Am I not allowed to say the title of episode 11? Is it spoilerific?
No, you can say the titles. Okay. Those have been out
Heaven
for a
Sent
long time.
Is scheduled for 8:05.
And Hellbent. Yes, we knew that.
You didn't get that because Kirby went a little bit share there. It was Hellbent is the final episode.
That was the opening of web page, sorry.
Which was, I think, doesn't it give a time for that, does it? I don't know. But anyway, so that's the next three episodes of Doctor Who before the Christmas special. There won't be that much of a gap, really, between the final episode and the Christmas special, so that's good. If you look at DoctorWhoNews.net, there's lots of really good photos that some professional has taken from day one and day two. I haven't seen the day three one yet of the Doctor Who Festival.
Do you, Master?
Yeah.
Do you go through pictures like that and try and find yourself?
No, I'm not in them. I was right at the back I was right. No, I didn't, because I know I won't be in them. I was right at the back at the theatre, so I wasn't going to be in any pictures. The sci-fi.
Alan Butcher posted a picture that he says he is in behind Capaldi.
That was in day one, but I mean, we were there day two. I haven't had a look properly yet. Apparently, sci-fi in Latin America is to produce, show Doctor Who. Series 9 ratings update from space. Wow. You allowed to say space? I don't know.
Space.
Nearly 500,000 viewers. Woohoo. There was nothing much Doctor Who-ish on Children in Need, was there, I don't think, as far as I can make
Well, we
out.
Wouldn't know. We don't
No, I didn't,
see
I didn't hear. The, there was a Star Wars special, but not a Doctor Who one.
Star Wars is a big deal.
It is a big deal. As far as you were saying about the pictures that
Misa
they showed, I know that I'm not in them because it's all pictures of the cast, so I won't be in any of those. I recently posted the new publicity image for Face the Raven on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group.
Which apparently takes place in Diagon Alley.
Apparently so, and there's crows in it and ravens. Not crows, ravens. What a twit I am. Overnight ratings.
If you want derivative, I mean, we might get real derivative next week.
Overnight ratings for Sleep No More, 4 million. So that'll go up a little bit, but if everybody thinks it's rubbish, they may not be watching the next episode.
That means that they'll cancel the series.
I haven't got time to look at the press reaction, but if it's anything like the fan reaction, it's not particularly favourable.
The few press reaction things I had a chance to read were okay.
Okay.
No one has said of the things that I've read have been as negative as our negative feedback people.
Okay. Well, that's it for this section of the show. The next section of the show is a recording I made while sat in the audience at the festival of Toby Haydock, now honourable? Is that right? Honourable? Honorary co-presenter of the show. He interviewed Ingrid Oliver, Peter Capaldi, Jenna Coleman, Stephen Moffat, and Michelle Gomez. And this is it's about 35, 40 minutes long, but it's well worth listening to. And
Which
I apologize.
I assume you are editing it in, or do we have to sit
Of course
here?
I'm editing it in. I'd just like to explain, it's recorded in the audience on condenser microphones, so all background noise around us, including us, may have been picked up, so I apologise about that. There won't be any swearing on it, because we're children pleasant. But obviously, Debbie Melrose does giggle a lot, and you can hear her giggling and commenting during the recording, so I apologise for that.
She looked like she was having a great time.
She was having a great time. The thing about Debbie, though, before I move on, Debbie came along. I booked all these photo opportunities. She'd booked one with Nick Briggs, but she didn't know that I was going to bring her in on a lot of the photos, so she thought she was just going to be queuing, but I thought it was a bit unfair for her just to go along and watch us having our picture taken. So she came in on that. So, yeah, she was having a great time, but we all were.
So how did your wife enjoy it?
Of course she did.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. She.
It's a day out, isn't it?
We've got this. You make it sound like she doesn't like the show.
She doesn't really, but she was. It's a day out, and Isabella was enjoying herself. It was meeting celebs. It was good fun. It's, you know, still good fun, isn't it? Even if you don't like Doctor Who, I think, you know, if you're going up
supporting her husband and her daughter,
yeah, to a degree,
just being a good sport.
She always is. Right. So. This is it. This is the Toby Haydock's interview with the cast from the Saturday at the Doctor Who Festival. Thank you, Kirby and Mary, for joining us this week. We'll sort out next week's schedule a little bit later, but I think it might be... Hang on, let's have a quick look at my diary.
Sunday?
That's a song by U2. yeah, well, it looks like it. Yeah, I think Sunday's on.
Good.
Unless something comes up at the last minute. So, yes. Blah. See you next week. Here's the interview. Bye.
Well, can we say goodbye? Goodbye, Fancy Pants.
Hello, I'm Colin Baker. You lucky people are listening to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, the best podcast on the pod.
So, hello, everybody. Have you enjoyed it so far? What's being here?
This is the first time I've seen everyone. I've just done one of our photo shoot things where you meet 180 people in 1 hour. Say, hello, how are you? Smile, goodbye. Hello, how are you? Smile, goodbye. So that's all I'm going to say for the next 5 minutes.
And Stephen, how are you enjoying the series going out that you've been working on so long that now we're all getting to see it?
Well, it's weird. It feels like a huge security leak. I don't like the fact people now know what's going on in the episode. I suppose I'd be more relaxed if we had in any way finished episodes 11 and 12. We haven't. That's how Doctor Who is made. The paint is still wet. I don't feel relaxed about it. I don't feel calm about it. But it's nice that it's on air. God, that was enthusiastic. God, you know, yes, I quite like putting it on television if necessary. Actually, I quite like just to keep it. I quite like if we got to make it. And I just kept it in my shed. And people came around and they said, I've been working on something. Would you like to see some Doctor Who I've made? And they say, yes, I think, maybe next time.
Well, then, Jenna, there's no maybe next time for you because you're leaving us.
I have left. I have. But technically not yet because, you know, it's still on screen at the moment. So, holding on.
And so it's weird that you're talking in the present about something that's in your past. So your life's gonna, or has it already changed dramatically because you're not doing it?
Yeah, but nobody is filming at the moment. So.
Oh no, we did. We carried on after you left.
We did carry on.
We died.
We did, but I just felt like I was on a holiday. yeah, it's very strange. It's been my life for the past 4 years. So it is going to be very strange without Doctor Who. Without time travel and a TARDIS and an alien best friend.
What about you, Michelle? How has your life changed since bringing Missy into your and indeed our lives?
That's quite amazing. No, it's huge and amazing, and I still can't believe it because I am like basically just a big Who fan, and so like when I'm on set, most of the time I'm just going. yes. That answer?
Yes, brilliant. And Ingrid, I think Osgood should take up a number of lines on your CV because there are so many different ones. So, should we know which one you're playing when we don't know which one you're supposed to be playing?
This is a tricky one because I think I know which one I'm playing. And so, I think, I don't know if you guys, am I right? I think you can tell which is which. I could be very wrong. Can you tell which is which?
No? Because I've been very subtle. But I think if you watch it over and over again, then maybe you can tell a difference. So, yes. I can't even remember what your question was, but I think I've answered it in some way.
Watch it over and over again, but not more than 9 times, remember that. We're going to have some pictures that none of us have seen, but are going to provoke some sort of memories, and then we're going to throw it over to you. We'll get something visual. So we're going to see some pictures on the screen here, which you'll see up there, and whoever's involved.
Oh, I remember that day.
Oh, it was nice, wasn't it?
Oh, it was lovely. Did we get so cold we started jumping up and down the steps?
We did, yes, right before we started selling ice cream.
We did a bit of an exercise run together, like we're best friends, and then...
Like we were best friends. And then played the like we knew our lines.
Yes.
It was lovely.
We were in Tenerife.
Yes.
We were in Tenerife that day. I get confused, did you film in Lanzarote as well? No. That was the year before.
Yeah,
are we supposed to comment on these pictures?
Yes,
that's what I'm saying.
Yes, absolutely. You've done exactly as we hoped you would.
Ah, great. I caught your drift.
And it has been duly commented upon.
So let's have another one.
Who's that?
Davros.
Maybe Davros.
Ah.
Not Bobby Davros.
Oh, my God.
He's fresh.
He's fresh.
He's like something precious.
And that was quite a way to start this season, Stephen, with that, you think it's a child in danger, you hope the doctor's going to say, you think the doctor's going to save this kid, and suddenly that, and keeping the fact that Davros was coming back a secret must have been an enormous
impact. Yes, but people play along with us to a tremendous degree. We did show the episode, and unfortunately didn't give it away. So it does, I suppose it does give that person a fair bit of impact. Also, the end of the episode where Doctor Who's going to shoot a child in the face. What other kid show does that? Come on. Yeah, I think that's a really good start. Yeah.
And the handlines are an extraordinary. So those things just come to you in the night?
Well, not literally. I don't know. I can't remember. I always ask questions about that. But I'm scared of everything, so I've probably scared myself of my own hand.
Let's have one more picture. And then
me?
Look at that.
Well, that's us recreating the cover of the Abbey Road album, Abbey Road.
That photo shoot was done in about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Because we had to stop traffic.
Yeah, they literally just stopped the traffic and wheel Daleks on and throw us on.
And there was some really confused passerbys. Yes. No idea what was going on. And I was barefoot.
Yeah, it's great.
A fantastic image. Well, look, let's get it out to you. We've got some guys going around with panels of microphones, so don't speak unless you've been given a microphone and anything. Just go very quickly. And what we did do is, when you get your opportunity to ask your question, if you say your name and where you're from, and then we'll know where you live and can do all sorts of information. So we'll go to number... Ooh, there's a 3 today as well. So number 2 is already up. Number 1 seems to be the last ballot that's being given out in a very timey-wimey use of convention. And there we are. So number 1 is the third one to be given out. So number 1 right at the back, we'll start with you and your question. Then you get the microphone. He said, killing dead air.
Hello. Hi, Britt from Kent. Firstly, just want to say, massive fan, and you guys are all fantastic. So thank you very much for fabulous shows. My question is, Michelle, you've done Missy so fantastically well and made everyone love someone that we don't specifically like. My thoughts are on other gender swaps, so possibly what would you think of the Doctor being a woman and the companion being a boy? What do all of you think of that?
I'm available as usually of answering this question. Younger. Why ask me now? Yes, it can happen. But since... Peter has signed the contract. For all eternity. He didn't read it. And he can never stop playing the Doctor. So he's never going to have it all back.
Speaking, that needn't be a barrier, but does anyone else want to comment on the issue, or should we go to number two?
Hi, I'm Anna, and I'm from London, Hampshire. Just first to say, Jenna, you're my idol, and thank you so much. And my question is, all of you are awesome. I just wanted to say, Jenna, do you think Clara's outfits influence on your daily outfits?
I think so. I get to go out with Ray and Howard, our costume designers. So I go shopping with them, and I get to pick. But I was trying to do something where, so she looks like a school teacher. I really wanted to keep the English literature school teacher. And then something that you can run and chase aliens in as well as that. So hopefully that's, but also I think there's a bit like sci-fi retro feel in it as well, so it's a lot of fun getting to dress Clara. The first thing the costume designer said to me, he said, just imagine, what do you want your Clara doll to look like? The first things he said to me.
Peter, did your costume go through many manifestations before you hit upon what you originally started?
Yeah. Well, I just think it was important to there are lots of voices in Doctor Who, and everyone's entitled to their opinion, and I don't always know what's right, unfortunately. But I had an idea that I thought he should be very stark and very plain, and I sort of thought of that from the start, but I had to try on every possible single variation of any idea that anybody ever had, and any idea that we had of what Doctor Who might look like, which meant going to every costume house in London and trying on all of their scarves, hats, frock coats, ridiculous costumes, just to go through all those houses. But eventually it gets up, ended up back where we started. Nobody seemed to like it, so.
And number three.
I'm Andy from Walsall in the West Midlands. One question, a bit boring, I'll stand up. One question, it's another one for Jenna. There's so many different aspects of Clara's character this series. I wonder which one was your favourite, and if there's one in particular that most resembles you in real life.
I mean, definitely Bonnie. Resembles me most in real life. That was a really fun episode to play. Although I was very happy to get Peter back at the end of the episode, because when you play opposite your own face, you obviously can't be there on the other side, so you have to act a lot to green screen. So that was a really fun episode, but I was very happy to work with a human being again after that point.
And we're all the way back to number one again.
Hi, I'm Leah from Banbury. This question is for Jenna. It's not to do about Doctor Who, but I want to know how Queen Victoria going.
It's going really well, thank you. I mean, Peter bowed to me when I walked in, so that was interesting.
I've also made a goodbye / thank you.
My name's Ben, and I'm from Bristol. Can I just say, it's an honour just to be here in the same room with you guys. Jenna,
I'm an absolutely huge fan, and I'm addressing this because I know you're leaving. My question is, it's a general question, really, about the next companion. Because the companions have been very vital to the Doctor in the last few seasons, like Amy Pond ended up being his mother-in-law, River Song, and you obviously met the first Doctor, you know, way back when.
Yes,
fact,
I did.
You might not even be travelling without you, you know. I was thinking, with the next companion, is there an obligation to go bigger, or do you think that do you think they're going to maybe kind of play a lesser role, if that makes sense?
Can I summarise your question?
Yeah.
I love you. Who's next?
No, I was just about to pass it over. I was like, I think that may be a Stephen question, actually.
I'm too upset with the departure of Jenna to possibly discuss. We're working on it. I don't like saying that. I feel just as traitorous as anyone really needs to understand. Even though, can I just point out, Jenna dumped us. Okay? It's still doesn't it, Peter?
Oh, she has every day. We will make her pay for it.
Starting a week tomorrow.
Yes.
Now, because that was number two, there's a number three, which is next. Stop giggling when I say number two. Number three at the back there.
Hi, I'm Beth, and I'm from Liverpool. I want to be an actor if I have a role, but I want to play the companion. I was wondering if you had, like, any advice or something? Yeah.
Oh, so advice for a want-to-be actress, which could come from any of you.
Don't do it.
Not really, no, not really. Don't do it.
I think there is many different ways of being an actress. It's sort of, there are lots of different ways of doing it, so there's no one way of doing it. You just have to really, really, really want to do it. I think that's the key. Because a lot of time it's not.
You have to get really good at rejection.
Yeah.
I'm one of the best.
On a more positive note, I think if you really want to work hard, that's it, isn't it? Yeah.
Work hard,
yeah.
I'd say watch as like many films as you can and read as many books as you can and go to the theatre and kind of surround yourself with lots of other people's brilliance and just keep working hard.
It doesn't have to be female-specific, Peter. What's your advice to somebody that wants to enter the profession?
I think this is all very good advice. It's a great interest in it. I think it's really hard when you're an actor. People say, you know, work really hard when nobody gives you a job. You know, it's very hard when you're unemployed and you can't see anything but a brick wall between you and being a professional actor. So I think being able to keep that your sort of spirit alive and your interest alive is really important. So I think the ability to like this great is just really pay attention. And don't lose hope.
Thank you.
And we're all the way back to number one.
My name is Johnny and I live at England, Ginger. Clara. Yeah. Have you made any good friends?
Whereabouts are you? I can't see you.
Here.
Oh, I can see you. I've made the best friends. I have made many, many good friends. All of you are sitting on this couch.
It's a happy show to work on, Doctor Who.
It is.
But hard work too, I should think. number two. Thank you for your question, number one. We're going to go to number two.
Hello, I'm Paul Blunt from Essex. I just wanted to ask Peter Capaldi, the electric guitars and sonic sunglasses, was that your idea or Stephen Moffat's?
Well, everybody together, we're going to get this right. Capaldi. One, two, three. Thank you very much.
Sorry.
not Capaldi, and it's Moffat. Not Moffat. I think, I don't know, I mean, I think I mentioned to Stephen that I thought it would be fun if the Doctor played guitar. I didn't know that he would take it seriously, so I was delighted to open the script and find that he was playing the guitar. I just thought it would be fun if it was something he, you know, noodled about and had one in the TARDIS or something. And the shades, I really like the shades, but I think, Stephen, you came up with them, and I'm very happy that you did it.
It was an idea, I think, specific to the Daleks, obviously. The Doctor needed to get some equipment in the Davros' lab. He can take his sonic screwdriver. So didn't Doctor Who, he remade them as sonic sunglasses. But having gotten to the end of that episode, I just thought, if I was Doctor Who, and I had sonic sunglasses, I'd use them for a while. Especially if it annoyed Clara slightly. And especially if it would be the world's daftest petition about it. Yeah, have you read that petition? It's brilliant. It's completely stupid to have sonic sunglasses. Bring back the sonic screwdriver. No, hang on. Don't bring back the sonic screwdriver. That is stupid too, and kill more people. That's what it says. Sensible policies for a happier Britain. I also thought, just for the hell of it, you know, every kid with glasses is Doctor Who now. You don't have to buy a sonic screwdriver from your mum and dad's sunglasses. An eye defect is now a superpower. What's more Doctor Who than that?
We're going right to the back now as we to number three. I think we're on three at the moment, right at the back there.
Hi, I'm Brad and I'm from Manchester. My question is for Peter and Stephen. If you could bring back a monster from the classic series, which would it be and what would you have them do?
We have a very long list.
So could we hear for some time? I'm always very keen. I think there's a lot of monsters who are very, very imaginative, who are great ideas, but perhaps the budget and the apparatus wasn't there to fulfill those creatures as successfully as we can with our new technology. I'm always very taken with Zabi and the Minoptera and all of these creatures. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, the idea that you would try and make a web planet populated by insects, you know, in a tiny studio in Hammersmith with no money, just some cardboard and some imagination and some ambition, I think it's wonderful. So I hate looking at all, I hate watching. You know, I sat and watched the whole of the web planet, and it was quite hard going, really. But the worst thing was, it sort of destroyed the image I had of them in my head. Because I saw that when it went out as a child, and it lived in my imagination so potently and so powerfully. So I would love to see the Zabi and the Minoptera show up again somehow. But with our new technology, which would make them look sensational.
I think one of the things, Philip, is what they attempted with the planet, I apologise for all the people who are not hardcore as people in the is still pretty difficult. I mean, God was very nice then, that was huge, there was no humanoid character apart from the least.
I mean, the classic monster you think we could have, the sea devils, the design is amazing. It's an absolutely beautiful design. I've never thought making them beautiful yet, but I think they're quite extraordinary as a piece of work. So maybe that, but I have got another couple in my mind, but I might be doing those, so I'm not telling you.
And we're back to the game, as far back as almost possible, the number one on the stairs there.
Well, first of all, I cannot quite believe that I'm actually talking and you are listening to me. Peter, she is your daughter, so it's a bit rude.
Oh,
sir.
Oh.
The doctor never forgets about anyone. But there are a lot of people, and a lot of time, space, and cosmos, and he hasn't got time to deal with everyone, every moment of the day. But no, he has a floor. Stephen?
I've got Russell's answer, which is, because that comes from Russell's era of the show. And apparently it was me that kept her alive, because I said when I heard him the idea, I said, oh, don't kill her at the end. That's the Star Trek thing. You should have kept her alive, just as I said that. So, okay. And I looked at him and said, sent him an email saying, well, I didn't know I'd done that, so thanks. He said, oh, it doesn't matter, Stephen. She flew straight off into a moon. Really got a problem from Russell, man.
Which then hatched.
Number two.
Hello, my name's Abigail Kirby. I'm from Peterborough, and can I just repeat the first statement of number one? And can I just say you're actually listening to me? I'm so happy. I really want to ask Stephen Moffat if they ever intend to have a ginger doctor.
As I referred to my answer a few minutes ago, Peter is a doctor for the rest of time. He chooses to go ginger. Man on this earth could stop it.
That would be a good story though, wouldn't it?
One ginger out.
Okay.
Yes, yeah. Ginger.
Am I going to argue?
I'm going to plan on the ginger. Yeah, man.
Start hashtagging it now, it'll happen. Number one. There's a gentleman coming behind you with a microphone.
Hi, my name is Steve. I'm from Dublin. I just wanted to ask if there's ever any plans, because we're actually not that far away, if we'll ever see an episode of Doctor Who based in Ireland. Say hi, by the way.
Doctor Who story set in Ireland.
Well, do you know, I kind of think if we were going to set a Doctor Who story in Ireland, we probably reckon we could fake that in Wales. We'd make New York in Wales. And, you know, Mars. So, I think that's, I mean, maybe if they have a good story, I don't know. It's, being honest, one of the challenges for us is to go to, if you go to a foreign country, we want it to look as different from here as possible, so where it's worth the money and the time it costs. I remember once we were doing the astronaut all those years ago, and it was going to be set in Florida, because that's where all the rockets went from there, and we got some photographs of Florida, and thought, God, it looks just like that in Cardiff. You know, so we set it in the desert for no reason. So that would be the answer. What, you gotta tell me what is incredible, what you've got in Ireland that looks so amazing that it would be worth us losing your time and money to go there. That's
you agree? Words?
Yeah. You keep tripping over Game of Thrones anyway, so next place. So, number two, right in the corner there.
My name's Louise. I'm from Derby. This is for Michelle. How soon were you told that Missy was going to be previously the master? And how did that affect your performance? And did you do any research as regards how people would view her?
Where are you?
Over there,
just
over there,
there.
In the corner there.
Oh.
In the dark.
Well, I knew from the beginning, actually, that I was going to be the master. So it was a huge secret that I had to keep, which I did, unbelievably, because I was a big blood mind. And so I sort of basically just wandered around with a strange, enigmatic smile, and people thought I was on drugs or something, which I was not. Obviously, the light, the natural high, and so I, and then I sort of dawning on me this you know, big task that I had at hand, and I'm trying not to actually do any research because I am possibly one of the lazy psychos you've ever met, and just turn up on the day, costume on, say these wonderful, this wonderful script that Stephen has written, and hope that it works, and not try to get too caught up in what people have done before, because I tend to get easily intimidated, as I am right now in this moment, and I just hope that it would work, really, and try and let go of the result, and it seems to work.
Hello, my name's Olivia, I'm from here in London, and first of all, I'd like to say how much of a big fan I am of Doctor Who. I've been watching ever since I can remember. And this is just a general question. If you could bring back any previous companion, who would you bring back?
Clara.
Right, I've only been gone a couple of weeks.
Still hurts.
Now we go back to number one, which is over there.
That was very good time.
Hi, hello, I'm Klaus, I'm from Milan, Italy. And my question is, in the last year we've seen the TARDIS exploded with the Pandorica. It was destroyed by the Daleks, it imploded, and everything happens inside when Juliet inside of the TARDIS. What else do we have to expect for TARDIS?
What other iniquities are you going to deal to the TARDIS? What other traumas are you going to put it through having blown it up?
Well, wait till you see what we do to it at the end of episode 10.
Just imagine it's here.
That's extraordinary. Just, yeah.
It's here, like, goes down.
Is it number three then? Or was there a number two that I missed? It would be three numbers to blame, but I think it's number three.
If you hold the numbers up and wave them around, because we can't really see where you...
This question is for Mr. Capaldi. Who was your favourite doctor when you were a child?
Well, I loved them all. I mean, I grew up, the show started when I was five. So I can't remember whether or not I've watched the first episode. I sort of think I did, but I probably didn't. But they were just part of my environment growing up, so I loved all of them, and I think they're all of the doctors, all 12 of them, and the fabulous contribution to the show, and wonderful actors. So I don't have a specific favourite.
We may have slightly gone wrong with the number of that's fine. There's number one here, and then we'll do number two straight after, so we're back on track. So number one, just up here, is going to get a microphone right now.
My name is Jo from North London. Can I just say, waiting in today, this is my son's 40th birthday.
Happy birthday.
What I'd like to know is who your favourite doctor set up is. Who you've been the best pairing? Other than you two.
who the best pairing?
Yeah.
I sort of like the. I'm not. Because of my age. I'm sort of very keen on the Katie Manning, Elizabeth Sladen, actress. Which I think really was the start of what we do. I think that's where it comes from. Is that it was the first time that they had a relationship, where there was an extremely bright, clever girl who was quite capable of dealing with the Doctor, which also sort of threw into contrast his sort of strange eccentricity and his alienness. So I'm very keen on that. But I think they've all been, Karen and Matt and Arthur quite terrific. And I love Billy. I don't like to, if you pick someone, you always think they say, oh no, I misled that other person, I don't think I hate them, and that's not true. See, I love them all, but I think Billy Piper was amazing in the last show. I thought it was great.
One of my favourites.
We've got number two. We've just got time for number two over there.
Well, I'm Darla from Swindon, and I would like to ask, what's your favourite companion? I know you cannot say Clara.
Clara, you were wrong.
Well, I think because he's been doing sterling work minding the shop for us, we've got an emergency question. He's been being very patient, but he's been our wingman all through the panel. Noah at the front, you're going to do the final question, which is a real brain teaser, as we know. So go on, thanks for being our wingman. He's a ventriloquist as well.
What's your favourite story?
I love Vincent and the Doctor. I love that story.
I like that Doctor Who story that starts in that junk bar and he steals the teachers away. It was on for ages. This was like when they were fighting Sandmen and Ford, that's what to do. A big long story, that's my favourite.
Just have to be on the question, be on the video, which is the one that you most enjoy baking.
I like all the emotional ones. I react in quite an emotional way to things, and so anything that makes me cry, which is, I mean, I can envision this room, that's what you want. I mean, all the ones, you know, like the end of time, and it was a bit unhappy, where I was at, and I like that. And the 50th, I cry a lot, actually. When all the Doctors came at the end, and then Peter's eyes, his eyebrows, at the end, Peter's eyebrows made me cry.
Eyebrows!
It'd be hard to get anywhere done. So that's three.
Well, and we know you like being diplomatic and don't like to choose a favourite, and that's.
Well, I think what I'll do is I'll choose a favourite for this moment. And then in 10 seconds I'll have to. So at this moment, I just think the evil Daleks is amazing. You see the Doctor being in the Victorian period and suddenly have Daleks appear in the Victorian period dress, which would be very interesting. But to have them show up in the Victorian set, not being Victorian. Is it too late for the steps of Daleks? I think that's very Patrick Troughton as well.
Well, we're out of time, so please give it up for Steve.
Hello, my name's Toby Haydock, which will probably excite and annoy in equal measure. You're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Continue so to do.
Right. We should explain the background noise. We are currently on
won't be that
the
much
red
back.
Funnel.
This is a microphone, a very sophisticated piece of equipment that doesn't necessarily pick up too much background noise. You won't pick up you either, because you're over there and I'm over here. Yes, we're on the ferry talking about our experiences of the Doctor Who Festival now, because it's sort of finished. It would have been a bit silly trying to talk about it while it's happening.
Yeah, we were thinking about broadcasting whilst we were in a queue or something. Not
like
broadcasting, well, recording while we were in a queue, but there was so much interesting stuff going on that kind of forgot.
Bit of background story then. Yes. Drove up on Friday afternoon.
Yes.
Actually went quite smoothly. to a degree.
Alpha Debbie coughing in the background.
Well, apart from the illness of Alpha Debbie and her pleurisy.
Yes.
Pleurisy, that sounds like some sort of contagious disease, doesn't it, pleurisy?
But it's not contagious.
No, but it sounds like
Tom
it.
Tom thought it was contagious. Yeah, he was like, oh, you might catch it. And I'm like, I don't think so.
Nevertheless.
Debbie's dying, but dying very elegantly.
Yeah, caught the 3 o'clock ferry and got to, what's the hotel called again?
Thurrock.
Thurrock, Travelodge. Around about half past seven, wasn't it? About quarter past seven, actually.
Quarter past seven, yeah.
Prioritised to McDonald's.
Yes.
Watch the football.
I had to sing a lullaby in the car to my lovely little girl.
Went to bed. Up at quarter past five the next morning, well, you weren't.
Yeah. No, we were up most of the night for some reason. Some reason, even though we had like the luxurious corner suite. Sounded like someone was hoovering.
I love the way you say we had the luxurious.
No, I had the luxurious corner suite. Yeah, walking up and down, hoovering. Goodness knows what
was
going on.
Well, you shouldn't be walking up and down hoovering, Debbie, at that time in the morning.
I'm sorry, I can't sleep without it.
But, yes, I went to, England went 2-0 down, I turned the TV off and went to bed about half past nine. Didn't really get much sleep. I was really quite thirsty because
I was up early enough to hear the first info about Paris.
Oh, yes. I didn't get that until, basically woke up at quarter past five. Deb was already up. About 4 o'clock, and she told
Paris
me about the Paris
atrocities, which we've all changed our Facebook profiles accordingly to the Tricolore.
Well, most of us have.
Most of us have, yeah. No, show of solidarity.
Yes. French or more or less the sixth British Isle.
The sixth British
Isle. They are, aren't they? They're closest to us an island, aren't they?
But we digress.
Yes.
Well. Yes, we got up nice and early to get to the Excel.
Yes, but it does have a knock on, to the storyline, the atrocities in Paris, because when we got to the Excel, there were...
explosion detector
explosive
dogs.
No, talk about explosive dogs. Talk about when we came back from McDonald's.
Oh, yeah, when we got back to the services, there were two RAF bomb disposal units there. We were a bit worried that as we came out, because they were still there when we came
and
back.
That was before the bombing, so that's a real weird sort of...
Yeah, that was weird.
Precursor.
We think they were just having a pee break or something.
A pee break.
Yes, a pee break.
Possible. They were
a
eating stuff.
Break,
he was smoking actually when I got back. But anyway, so
in the car.
Moving forward to today. Yeah, we
nice and early.
Got left just after seven. Got to the Excel about
eight, just before eight, magpies on the way.
Yes, that was weird.
Did you post
that picture of the magpies on the 20 megabyte
page? It wasn't
the
best picture, but I will post it.
Well, if you can't see their magpies, then it's probably not worth it.
You can see the magpies, but it doesn't show the scale of their numbers.
Yeah, we get to the Excel about just before eight. Brilliant at a time because we were right in front of the queue.
Great timing, wasn't it? Yeah.
Hour of queuing and enjoying the cosplayers. Moved on to the next queue.
There were so many Tennants, weren't there?
Were there?
Yeah, David Tennant.
I saw that woman there
that
looked a bit odd with the sideburns.
Yeah, there were Osgoods everywhere.
For a minute, I thought she was actually a boy until suddenly said, "Oh, great, great costume. Well, thank you." Yeah, so moved on to the great big hangar, and then as we moved to the next bit, somewhere along the line, we got sort of moved back in the queue, didn't we?
Yeah.
But we didn't
get
in. No,
we were waiting for the guy to sort out the lanyards, do you remember?
Oh, yeah, he dropped them, didn't he?
Yeah, he dropped them, and then he couldn't get the elastic band off.
Yeah, which meant we got delayed after getting nicely to the front.
Yeah, but we got to see some really good cosplay while we were waiting there, but it did feel a bit like we were being herded.
Half expected... the cast to come along and welcome the queue like they did the previous day.
Yeah. That would have been nice. They did it yesterday, apparently, but there were only 1,500.
That's the previous day.
Yeah,
that was yesterday.
I thought you said previously. Sorry. I'm going deaf because we've been travelling.
Well, we found out later that only 1,500 people went on Friday.
Yeah. And there were 7,000
today. Yeah, the first things first was to, after we got delayed, to leg it upstairs for the... it wasn't even upstairs. It was the TARDIS... No, the Jenna Coleman's...
Yeah, the set. Yeah, Clara's
set photo.
Clara's flat
we actually
sets,
get there
yeah,
quite
the
quickly.
Room.
Ahead of schedule.
Yeah, it was good.
Yes.
Nice
not really recognisable as Clara's living room, to be fair.
They had a picture of her in it. And
well.
The way I was positioned makes me look like I'm wearing a lovely hat.
Yeah, Deb's got a...
But it was lovely,
But I was just saying that... I'd love to watch the programme to see if I can recognise the room because it certainly wasn't anything I'd recognise from
Doctor
Who. I think
we have a good look at it if, say, last week's episode.
Quite tiny, wasn't it?
the Sontaran inversion.
And then Isabella had a picture taken with the green screen.
Yes.
Which didn't work, so we had to go back later to find out. We'll come back to the story later, because we went upstairs to have a picture date with Danny Hargreaves.
Danny Hargreaves.
Initially, yep. It was going to be just me, and then came round the corner, and Alpha Debbie said, "Oh, I recognise him." So we all had our picture taken with him.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, it's that bloke.
Oh, it's that bloke.
SFX bloke. The boss of all the special effects at Doctor Who.
That was brilliant,
Who flirts with people.
A lot.
Apparently, according to Debbie.
He does.
Yes. So after that, we did have a little bit of
time, didn't we?
We had a little bit of time. I've got my itinerary here.
We went down to the main hall. It was fantastic. I think one of the first things we did was get Isabella to pose next to the big pictures, which if you go on the Facebook page, you will see. She did a tremendous job.
Yes, I was very busy on Facebook during this event.
We were, and then we went to the Davros's little set thing, didn't we?
Yeah,
that was great.
Yes, because Mary posted, "Is this in Cardiff?" Or somebody did.
Why is it look scary? It's not. Pardon, Isabella.
It wasn't scary.
Why wasn't it scary?
It just wasn't scary. No, it's plastic.
It's plastic. Okay. Because it couldn't move, it wasn't scary. Apparently.
No. Okay, if you say so. Yeah. So we explored the festival hall for a bit. It was at that stage I spotted. What music?
Was it the first visit
to the festival I spotted Meninda?
Yes, it was, yes.
Yeah, Meninda is the owner of Lavazzi, you might recognise from previous episodes of the show. We'll talk about his generosity later on, if I'm allowed to. I'm not allowed. I am allowed. I'm allowed to talk about discounts and stuff. Yes, I am. I've already mentioned it now. Mentioned it. Discount.
Very lovely man.
He's a very, very nice man.
And we'd like him to carry on with us, please.
Yeah, I already asked him that, and he didn't say no.
That's tantamount to a yes.
He was going to be a straight yes until he saw you. And that's going to be a no.
Sod off.
But anyway. Nice chat with Meninda. Toby Halo.
Toby Halo came and met us,
but just before we went to see Danny Hargreaves. It was a bit of a shame, because if we timed it better, we could have seen him just afterwards and had a longer chat with him, really. And you could have got your recording bit out.
Yeah, I know, because I wanted to talk to him, because I've not spoken to
him.
You did want to talk.
You did, you said hello to him.
I know, but if we'd had more time.
That didn't work out. Never mind.
This recording bit. It was buried in the bag.
But it was very. He must have actually done a long walk to get up to see us, but it was very nice of him to do that. It was just a shame it was a bit brief. He could have hung around, actually, because we weren't in there for long with Danny Hargreaves.
We had a good look around the costumes, didn't we? What was your favourite costume?
Missy one.
Oh, there were some great costumes. Yeah. There were some great costumes from this series.
The Dalek. It was all this series, wasn't it?
Yeah, all the stuff. Yeah. Having watched the last week's episode, all the costumes were there.
Yeah.
And there was a couple of girls who were wearing really accurate Clara costumes based on the goldy orange polo neck thing.
Yeah, the cosplay was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And some downright weird ones. There was a Rincewind, if people have read Terry Pratchett. Rincewind, the guy with the wizard outfit.
No, he saw the conical.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I was quite shocked at the level of cleavage on show and some of the TARDIS dresses.
I didn't see that. You could have given me a nudge.
It was no point being put away.
No, I'm sorry.
We were a little shocked. Yeah.
You could have given me a nudge. But yes, Debbie will be posting, if she hasn't already done so, all her cosplay photos. I've got to post a few as well.
I've posted quite a few up, actually, because that cyber was amazing. I posted a video of that. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you did.
I might post a few while I'm on the boat after we stop recording. Yeah. But, so after that, we managed to get to the theatre after going to the correct entrance.
Yeah,
and then being told, went to the correct entrance and then being told to go to another entrance, then being told to go back to that entrance, and then being told to go to...
And being hauled into the hall...
Which was packed.
...halfway through... Meet the Writers. That was a bit odd. We were all wanting to get in for Meet the Cast, and Meet the Writers was
which
good as well.
Which led to us being sat right at the back, which wasn't
but
a
we
bad
all got
view.
Together, so that wasn't a bad view. No, it's good.
I thought it was easier for me to film at the back because I just had it on my knee. So, but, yes, yeah, I've filmed the show. I'm hoping that I'll be able to get it on YouTube
Peter
at some
Capaldi.
Point.
Yeah, there was Peter Capaldi, Michelle Gomez.
And even after that, Debbie was still calling him Capaldi.
Yeah, of course I was.
I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm allowed to. I am. I'm
no,
allowed
he
to.
Always does. It's fine. I'm just it's his show. I'm used to it.
I'll do it anyway.
I just carry on.
You can tell me all you like. I'll still do it.
Ingrid Jenner. Miss, yeah,
Ingrid Jenner, is she?
Go on then. You say it.
Ingrid Jenner, who's... Oh, sorry. Because you've forgotten who it was, wasn't
no.
it?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Stephen, Ingrid.
Yeah. Jenna Coleman.
Jenna.
Peter Capaldi.
Peter and Michelle.
In being interviewed by Toby Haydock.
Yeah, friend of the show. Yeah.
It's more than a friend of the show.
Best pal of the
if
show.
If you recorded him today, he would have been the owner of the show.
Owner of the show, No,
but yeah,
excellent.
So
it was a great interview.
That was good. We had our lunch during that particular thing, even though apparently we weren't supposed to.
We weren't supposed to take food or drink in. We had a lunch at the back.
Yeah.
It was great.
And then there was a bit of a
rubbish. There was a lot of, we love you, Jenna. We love you, Jenna. We're going to miss you, Jenna.
There was lots
fangirling. Of... Fangirling. And then we got some good questions, so yeah.
Got some good questions. So I did film it. It will be, hopefully, on YouTube at some point. Although some people kept on getting up in front of me and walking in front of my camera.
Wasn't me, but you'll hear me giggling.
One of them was dressed as the Third Doctor. I remember that. And then when it came to finish, it was very difficult getting out because we had to go immediately
Michelle
Gomez photo.
Yeah. It was a really weird way of getting out of the hall.
A 15-minute window to do that. Yeah. But amazing, we did get
it.
Up there and it wasn't too bad. And then it was basically a couple of hours of photos.
Yeah, because we saw Michelle Gomez. The picture is rather amazing. And then we had to go straight back round to wait for Peter Capaldi. And then we waited
and
for
Mark when we got to Peter Capaldi, the photographer
decided to cut
to
me
crop,
half off. Yeah.
Crop Debbie out the picture completely.
Yeah. I'm sort of off the picture. Yeah.
Not you. No, Debbie's in the picture.
I was a bit gutted.
You've been missed, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. But then I got to meet him. He called you Betty. The guy.
He called you Betty. Yeah, Peter Capaldi.
You
called
were Alan.
Debbie. Yeah, no, that was the bloke calling me Alan.
Betty. Yeah.
And he called you Betty.
He called me Betty.
Peter Capaldi called Debbie.
He was so lovely. They were all really lovely. Michelle Gomez was having the time of her life.
I said to Michelle Gomez as we left, I said, hopefully see you again next time. And she said, oh yes.
She does like she does like going to the cons, definitely. No. And we queued then for Mark Gatiss, who was absolutely amazingly polite and lovely.
That was your highlight, wasn't it?
Yes, I was a bit fangirly. Yeah. Yeah, that's when we've got a certain... whose autograph did we get, Isabella? What did you get?
An autograph from Peter Capaldi.
Yes, we noticed that they were sneaking out the back of the hall because Jenna Coleman went past us twice. And then somebody just missed on Michelle Gomez's autograph.
Yeah.
So they hung around for Peter Capaldi while me and Debbie went in to have our picture taken with
Mark Gatiss. Yes. So I was very fangirly at that point.
They weren't allowing autographs. Autographs are a bit of a no-no for this particular convention.
So Isabella got the feather in the cap with the festival, I think.
Yeah, and then she went down and got a freebie from the people who cocked up her photograph in the morning. So she's now got
a green screen thing, and they didn't. We didn't
with,
say
with the
that,
doctor
yeah,
rather than Peter Capaldi. Yeah. And then she's also got a real photo with Peter Capaldi. So she's done really, really well for that
Patrick.
One. So, but she got that one for free. So that was good. And then we had, after Gatiss, we went straight into Nicholas Briggs, didn't
we? Yes, we did. Yeah, he was very nice.
He didn't understand what I was talking about when I said he was first ever celebrity guest on the show. So I should have perhaps explained it a bit better because there weren't that many people in the hall, so I probably had a bit of time.
No, we could have actually stopped a bit longer, probably, but we're so used to being in and out really quick because it was so quick. It was, hello, how are you? Picture, go, now. And the way they were just heard it, you could see that most of the actors were quite sad about that. You could really tell.
Well, Capaldi was. He really wanted to
speak to people. Yeah, he was really gutted about it. Yeah, he wanted to talk to the fans.
Yeah, it was probably the previous day where they I know they sold
That's
out.
That's why you stopped for Isabella, definitely.
Yeah, well, I know that the previous day there was that many people there. They did sell out of the photos even then, so he still would have had quite an hour of photos.
It was wonderful meeting him.
But it was also nice to see Jenna.
Even if they cut off my arm in the picture.
I didn't get to see Ingrid Oliver close up. That's the only one. I saw Jenna.
I would have liked to have met her.
Close up. She sort of
Jenna's
went past
tiny.
Us twice.
She's
some
tiny.
Little kid fell over.
Yeah, she ran up to get an autograph. Someone held out their arm to say no autographs and knocked the blooming kid over.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's why when Isabella was heading off, I was like, no.
I didn't realise that happened. I heard the clunk.
No, they basically stop the kid from touching Jenna like she was gold dust, which really didn't.
Yeah, it's not her fault, though.
No, it's not her fault. You could see you could see most of them just when they were out and about would have just been herded.
It's just a shame, like
I think that was word of the day, herded.
Yes, your hope. That was your word of the day.
My word of the day. We're being herded.
It's just a shame that Moffat didn't indulge in the photo shoot thing, especially, you know, you've got people like Hargreaves doing it, and Gatiss, and Gatiss is his sidekick on Sherlock.
Yeah, exactly,
you would have thought that Moffat would have. Well, I would have. If I'd been Gatiss, I would have said, "I'll do it if you do it."
Yeah.
So I think I would have liked to have my picture taken. And the other thing I would say, where they had all the cast there, to have a cast, no, you queue to have your picture taken with the cast.
Yeah, meet the cast. Yeah.
I know they do that at other conventions. That would have been really quite cool, wouldn't it, Deb?
Yeah.
If they'd done a photo opportunity with all the cast.
She was asleep. It's late.
If they had a photo opportunity with all the cast. You can
Would it have been
ones.
Nice to meet all the cast, Isabella?
All together.
Yeah. Nodding isn't very good for podcasting.
No, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Nodding enthusiastic. There you go.
Yeah. So after the photo shoots, which went really well, and we were all on bang on schedule for the whole day, which is amazing.
Yeah,
we went downstairs, and it was a bit quieter downstairs, so we'd have a nice chat with Meninda, and they very kindly gave us a bit of discount, quite a lot of discount, in fact, on a few bits and bobs, didn't he? In fact, a considerable amount of discount. Very
I'm
nice
sure
man.
If our American colleagues were to get in touch, then
he'd
would
say, sorry, I've already given your team a load of discount. And we only can take, I only take notice of the ones that can be bothered to come and see me.
Oh, stop it.
At a convention. I think that's probably what he'd say. What do you think, Deb? Yeah, Deb's
if, we had, American sponsors, then I'm sure they'd be attending to our
happen,
American
no.
colleagues. Yes.
So,
and vice versa.
Yeah, but when we went down into the hall.
Well, Lavazzi. We took some lovely
Especially
pictures.
He's an exceptionally nice man.
Yes. Isabella and Alpha Debbie went into the weird tent thing.
Yeah,
there was a weird tent thing.
The classic
Doctor Who. I saw the beanbags. Yeah, I looked through. Leather brown beanbags.
It was
like a giant Wendy house, but Dalek kind.
And you watched the episode.
Which episode did you watch?
And you watched Spare Doctor Regenerating.
Yeah, so it's called Planet of Spiders, episode 6.
Yeah, fantastic. You got two
One of my favourite episodes
one.
Of all time.
Yeah.
And those beanbags are very
You guys did look rather settled. I feel
yeah, they did stay in there for the whole
episode. Because we were wandering around looking at
the
shopping.
We were walking around half expecting to get a phone call saying, we're out now, where are you? But no, they stayed in for the whole episode.
Didn't we?
Yeah, because that's when we bumped into Henry.
We bumped into a few people.
Henry
Mendoza,
a friend of the show, he was just hovering, waiting for his opportunity
and
with Ingrid.
Up the podcast to people who would listen.
And they kept on saying, who? What?
Who? Ooh.
Yeah. You tried.
Although Mark Gatiss was quite complimentary because I went, he said, all podcasters. I went, it's only a small one. Ooh, gushy, gushy.
And then I said,
he said, there's no such thing as small.
Did he? Something. Yeah, I said, not that small.
Not that small. And he said, there's no such thing as small. And I was like, I'm such an idiot afterwards. I want to go back and apologise.
You donut.
I was fangirling that. What do you expect?
Yes. Yes, you do look a bit like you're gushing in the photo, which,
I
of
do,
course,
yeah,
will,
it
will
very,
appear
yeah,
in its glorious
moment,
form on the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join after I've scanned them all in.
Someone was Ubering all night.
What's going to mean, Deb? We've taken pictures of them, but they need to be scanned in and posted properly. Yes. Yeah, so we had a bit of time at the end to just swan around the...
Around,
I was put under a bit of pressure, wasn't I? What are you going to have for Christmas, Adam? Oh, so I had to go around and find stuff that I could
you
pick up.
You found some good stuff.
Yes, I got a
we got some nice,
pussycat brooch.
Isabella and I got a nice poster of Missy, didn't we?
I tried on a very nice jacket that was a sort of a...
That was nice, very expensive.
11th Doctor jacket, and I was the 12th Doctor... Sorry, the 10th Doctor one was too big for me. Too small for me. And I said to them, I'd like one of these, and there's a price tag above it saying £27. So I went and asked, and it was £230.
Yeah, something like that, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Deb, the sports book, wouldn't let me have that one for my Christmas present. Of us.
I like the celery brooch. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, but when you look at it close up, to be fair, it wasn't
very
good.
It's just plastic, wasn't it? Yeah.
No,
it was a bit wibbly wobbly.
But yeah, and I was interested in the paintbrush brooch.
Yes, that was quite cool.
Which would have gone well with my nice new scarf. That's I've got now. So listeners don't have to buy me the Series 18 scarf anymore. I've got that one now. Thank you very much. What's tough? Yeah, one day.
Just tough.
I need someone to stick me brooch. I need a nice long doctor coat to stick me brooch on. Yeah, cosplayers were absolutely amazing. There's so many good ones. I mean, the little boys, the little toddlers.
Oh, God. The kid is canine. Yeah. The little
girl. The kid in the wheelchair is Davros.
Yes,
wasn't there?
I saw that one. Oh, yeah,
it was really weird seeing that parked
one,
outside the toilet when the kid had obviously gone in to go to the loo. But yeah, I can't remember any off the top of my head. But there was a very large sixth doctor you took a picture of sat down.
He was looking at his post. Yeah, and I just couldn't resist. He just sat there looking into his envelope or something and just took a picture of him.
Yeah, there was a very friendly man at Vim Planet.
Yeah, he was nice, yeah.
He didn't understand what you were saying because you were talking about the podcast.
Yes.
And
he sounded quite interested after that.
And there was another one who you took a picture of and you said it'll be on the podcast. And he said...
That's the guy with K9.
Yeah.
Yeah, his daughter is K9.
Yeah, and there was a bloke...
Oh, he was wonderful.
Great big tall bloke dressed up as Missy.
Oh, everything.
What was his son dressed up as?
I can't remember. I thought it was a time... I thought it was like Rastodon or something.
That's the first thing we saw. Yeah. The first thing we saw was a time lord as we parked, wasn't it?
As we parked, getting out of the car with the Ghostbusters vinyl on the door. Yeah. And we were like, yeah, we're in the right place.
Yeah, he'd gone before we left, I think. But, yeah, so the Big Finish thing you avoided because it was expensive.
But, I would have gone straight into Big Finish if payday was a bit closer. I'll just go online.
There were so many nice things. All the really nice things were really, really expensive. That's the problem, isn't it? Mm. They did have a discount store.
Yeah.
But there was nothing on there. I think, oh, I'll get that.
What did you like best?
No,
got I got a Peter Capaldi sort of
yeah. Oh, there's Capaldi. Capaldi, though.
Is that it? Whole 9-hour day.
Oh, it was a highlight. It was
a highlight.
Like
but wasn't there any other bits and bobs?
Thanks to Alpha Debbie.
So was there not anything else that... Because like you
were,
last time you were
we
ill,
had, we had Clara's flat, and then there was a bit of a Shielders village, wasn't there? There was quite a bit of the.
Can I post that picture? Yeah,
I don't
Isabella,
know because I took one right at the
well,
end.
Isabella tried on a Shielders helmet thing.
Did she? Oh, I didn't see that. Oh, yeah. Also, you had
didn't
all the
see it. You're holding it on a red when I took the picture.
That one. Oh, that bit. Sorry. Yeah. No. when there was the bit when we went to look at all the prosthetics.
Oh yes.
That was terrific.
And the people were putting the
green thing,
the Silurian head.
The wrong way round because it was more comfortable to sit on the head, and we're just there going, it's the wrong way round in the corner.
Very unlike Doctor Who fans, not to notice that, isn't it?
Yeah, I think they were just letting him do it, don't you?
Yeah, it was just quite funny. I was a bit jealous later on in the day when they were trying on the Ood head. There was a bloke trying on the Ood head.
We'll go outside in a minute, I'm sure, but you have got no coat on.
Tell her off, Deb. But anyway.
Debbie's going to sleep, so me and Isabella will go have a wander around, and she'll get so cold she'll have to come back in.
Oh, I haven't finished yet. Great. What else did we see down there?
We've missed out on.
I'll tell you what we missed out on.
What did we miss out on?
SFX
one, wasn't it?
Well, it was the SFX thing.
SFX, me yawning.
No, we also missed out on the drama thing. It was on a few times.
Yeah,
we saw it
a bit, didn't we, actually? That was quite a sort of a lesson in a scene. It was the scene from Listen, wasn't it, with the boy in the bed. Yeah. And Clara giving him the little colonel without the gun.
And we missed out on a couple of stage things because we were queuing for photos.
Yes.
But it didn't matter because the queuing of photos was... well, not queuing.
It was, entertaining, wasn't it? Yeah, it was really companionable.
Yeah,
I made it entertaining.
No,
I've never been to anything in London where everybody just nattered quite happily to each other.
No, it's
like
just... It's
normally London straight ahead.
Well, when you come around the corner, you see the... No, you'd see the person, for instance. You see the person, for instance, shut up, Peter Capaldi, and you can see him sort of, just interacting with people, and that was quite entertaining in itself. But when there was those two little kids, I tried to get a photo of it, the really little kids.
Yeah, they were dinky, weren't they? Yeah.
And they were so cute that my camera wouldn't focus on them.
Yeah,
but it was a
so
lovely
tiny
picture. He had to get us down so low to try and get the picture taken.
Yeah, he was practically like that, wasn't he?
But I'll tell you what, Michelle Gomez was well into it. They had people picking her up.
Yeah, yeah. Some of the expressions she was pulling, she was amazing.
Was great,
she was having the best time.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was like, it's only going to be quick with each one, let's make it count.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really was.
They didn't seem like a long time. So that was really the highlight of the day, was all those photo sessions because of the fun and the cosplayers and seeing what the actors were doing during their
everybody
photos.
Everybody bonding over Doctor Who. It was terrific. Everybody just there for Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Had a fantastic time.
Isabella didn't really moan once during the day. She didn't, did she?
I think Alpha Debbie Biggs did it.
Well, normally, is it time to go home yet after
that
5 minutes?
That happened at 10 minutes to before we left, actually. That happened, yeah. But just as we were heading off.
I'm tired. Mm. She sat down when we actually
she's
arrived.
She's been a trooper. And Debbie's dying.
Debbie's ill.
I'm dying now.
Cutting her finger, pleurisy, coughing up blood.
Yeah, cutting her finger off while we were in the queue, off, yeah. Well, we do exaggerate, listeners.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
Yes. Explosive dogs. I mean,
the
place was
dogs,
up clearly.
Because there was also the trouble at
a
Gatwick,
high alert.
There was a very high alert in London, and because it was such a...
even more so. Even more so, because Boris Johnson said that he hasn't got much to worry about.
I know, because it was a high focus event, a very British thing.
And
we
lots
had
of people gathered
quite
together.
A subtle police presence, but you were aware that it was a lot more. And we had explosive detector dogs wandering around doing their job. No, Alpha Debbie tried to pet one, but it was the presence was there, and sometimes the way we were being herded about a bit made you think if they found something, or we were all being quite suspicious and on edge.
No bags were searched. Interesting thing, of course,
that,
while posting during the day, you're gradually seeing Facebook turn trickler, which is quite amazing.
That was amazing. The unity of Facebook once again. Just our hearts go out to everyone who's been affected, obviously.
Well, the whole world's been affected because everybody loves France, don't they? Who doesn't like France?
But it was lovely to see just everybody there today and just the solidarity of everybody.
It's funny seeing whole gangs of girls turning up as Claras.
All of them as Claras in different outfits. There was a really good Amy Pond. I've got a picture of her to put on, actually.
That's what we had last time.
There was a really good Amy Pond. And just I've got the dolls from the Dolls House in that episode, Matt Smith episode, where the kid puts everything into the Dolls House.
Yes.
We had the soldier and the mask of Mandragora, that was brilliant. And there was a guy painted blue.
I only saw him once.
I didn't see him again. And there was a couple of green ladies.
Maybe he had his head chopped off.
There's a couple of green ladies with ISIS around.
Green ladies. Didn't see any green ladies.
Yeah, there were a few wandering around with hats on. They just had their faces painted. They didn't have any sort of face masks on or anything. And they had great big hats with veils on.
There were loads of Missies.
Mary Poppins convention. It really did at one point. There were so many of them waiting to meet Michelle Gomez. It was like all the nannies had queued up ready to get a job.
Apparently Peter Capaldi was wearing his doctor outfit.
I think it was just his general everyday outfit and his wife was sat in the corner in Doc Martens as well.
Alistair Pearson had a gift for Peter Capaldi which I delivered to him. Which he was quite thankful for.
I think it was given to an assistant.
I do hope he does get that, because I've got a funny feeling that Ali's written him a letter and if he would write back to him, and that would be nice if he did get a letter back, because all Alistair's got of my proof that I did that is me saying that I did it.
So. Want to say something? No?
Is that it?
No. But what did you think overall, Isabella, from a kid's point of view?
You didn't have to go, did you?
Yeah,
did, really.
What did you think?
Would you rather not have gone?
You did seem to be smiling a lot. There were some really good pictures of you.
She wasn't naughty very often. And being
she didn't go into one of her sulks. She posed beautifully.
Did she?
Yeah, for the Daleks. A few good Dalek pictures with her posed beautifully next to
her. Those are pictures of her. Uh-huh. Well, that one against the mural.
Yeah, that's brilliant. The one of her actually on screen with Osgood and the Doctor. It's my favourite picture of the whole event. That was brilliant. The one where you're looking really puzzled, like they are. They're all looking curious and you're just going like that as well, as part of the scene.
You know which one I'm on about.
It was brilliant. You look brilliant.
Anyway.
You can bet. I think that might be us signing off from that.
Because I need a drink.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yes. Yes, and again next time. Tidy bye.
Thank you for listening. Bye bye.
Just before we move on to the Toby Haydock section of the show, I'd just like to say that I was severely let down by my recording equipment. For some reason, even though the line in cable was plugged into the line in socket, it recorded through the exterior microphone, so therefore recording Toby coming out through the speakers behind my computer. So I apologise if you can't hear him very well. That would be the reason why, especially as I turn the speakers down through the recording. So once again, very sorry. Hope you can hear it okay. So, Toby.
Hello.
Nice to have you back on the show. Yet again.
Yeah, nice to be here.
I have to say, you're probably unaware of this, but or you may or may not be aware of this, that we have a sort of inbuilt hierarchy for people in relation to the amount of times they appear on the show. Sort of go up,
right.
You will go up a grade. And we're running out of grades for you, so we've decided on honorary co-presenter. But I think one more appearance will make you a actual co-presenter. So you better be careful.
Oh dear, does that mean I'm a bit of a media whore?
I don't know about that, but a welcome regular, well, semi-regular, on the show. So, yes, I'm delighted to have you back on and be able to speak to you again, because obviously our meeting on Saturday was a bit brief, probably thanks to me picking a stupid time when we were in the middle of doing something.
Well, it was all pretty much stupid times. It was such a hectic thing, wasn't it?
It was indeed, and surprisingly went quite well. I thought booking two photos of two big stars at the same time, I was thinking that's going to be a problem trying to get both of them done within three quarters of an hour, but it actually did work. Quite surprised. And also getting out of the theatre, because the show that you did finished 15 minutes before Michelle Gomez's photo shoot, and they only had one door open, and everybody was trying to funnel out through this one door, and I thought, I'm never going to get down this stairs, because there was someone at the bottom of the stairs letting everybody in the whole auditorium out and keeping everybody behind him in. And I was thinking, oh, great, I'm not going to get this. This is all going to go pear-shaped, but fortunately it didn't. Right, so going back to, I was just interested, because obviously Friday was a bit quieter. Somebody told me there was only 1,500 people at the Friday event.
I think there was about 2,000.
But there was 7,000 at the Saturday one.
Yeah, 7,800, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, so it was quite a leap.
It was, yeah. So how obviously our day was, we felt it was quite hectic, but good fun. How was your day? How did your day pan out? You know, so obviously the show starts at 9. What, how would your day go?
Yeah, well, pretty hectic, because certainly the Friday was, because I had a quite an important gig in Manchester on the Thursday night, and I don't drive, but they wanted me there. They didn't want me beholden to trains on the Friday, in case of business. And because there was technical things to rehearse with me. So somebody drove me on the Thursday night from Manchester when I finished my gig at 10:30. So I got in at 3 o'clock in the morning, went to bed, and then was up for breakfast with producer Paul Venezis at 7:30 in order to then go in and... familiarise ourselves with proceedings and the stage and what we were doing, practice with the mics and that sort of thing. So myself, Steve Cranford, and Matthew Sweets, the three presenters on that big stage, we sort of had a bit of rehearsal time, mostly for Steve, because Steve's show involved lots of different people coming on and some monsters and lights and that sort of thing, whereas I didn't have anyone to rehearse with, so I just stood on stage and said a couple of bits, but it was mostly Steve sort of testing the equipment, as it were. But it was fine, because we were there getting a feel of it, and no need for me to rehearse, because there was nothing I could really do. And that time went, it always goes much quicker than you think it will, and before we knew it, it was time to let the first audience in for the first panel, which was what Steve was doing. And so then the Friday was quite handy for us having a small amount of people, because it was just a little bit of pressure off, psychologically only, because you still have to do a good show and you still want to do the best of your ability and for not for nothing to go wrong. I didn't want anything to go wrong for that audience as much as I don't want anything to go on for an audience that's three times as big.
Yeah.
But it just their weight of numbers wasn't quite as intimidating as I think 4,000 people which we had on a Saturday at each panel. You know, had I been slightly worried about, you know, this going wrong or that going wrong or whatever. So Friday broke us in quite nicely, but it meant it was an exhausting day. Flew by. I mean, the whole weekend flew by. But I loved it.
I'm sure you did. So there was no rehearsal then. You just winged it then when all the...
Yeah, I mean, that's the story of my comedy career as much as anything else. Just hope for the best.
I was rather amused by some of the people in the audience who asked questions. There was one, especially when they couldn't see them. Where are they? Where are you? I can see you. Oh, you're over there.
Yes. I mean, the paddle idea was very good and very well executed by Ben and Helen and their team of Doughty volunteers. I don't know, but work, you know, the guys handing around the microphone and choosing who would ask the questions, which I was... Really, I didn't have to because one, people were miles away, and two, I always feel sorry for the people I don't get to. So at least that was taken out of my hands.
Yes.
And somebody did say, I saw somebody online actually. But somebody did say, they should have vetoed the questions. So you know, to get a problem with questions, you know, so that people didn't ask silly questions or whatever, and you go. Yeah, so what, we get each of the 4,000 people handed a bit of paper, somebody goes through all those bits of paper, then has to identify who wrote the winning question and where they're sitting, and do all that in half, and then make a list of it, so that I've got a list, so the people handing out the mics have got a list, let the people know who are asking the question. I mean, all this would have been done in half an hour, yeah?
No, I think that went quite well, actually, the whole question thing. It's just interesting when you see the I can't believe you're listening to me, and yes, oh, Jenna, I love you.
There was some stranger, there was a man who asked to if everyone on stage would help him make a video of him proposing to his girlfriend. He wanted, you know, to come up on stage and film them, which was a bit awkward because... I didn't want to be the one to say no on their behalf because I don't, you know, because I'm not in charge, but I was responsible for steering the panel, and you could tell the audience going, what? No, this is inappropriate. It was, you know.
So how do you defend that off then?
So God bless Stephen Moffat, who just went, well, look, it's already being filmed. There's cameras down there. We'll all look into the camera and sort it out. And they did it like that.
Yeah.
So there was just a moment where I wasn't quite sure, you know, who should be taking a job, because of course none of the actors want to be seen to be saying no, because they, you know, I'm sure under other circumstances they might have happily helped, but that was neither the time nor the place. But Stephen Moffat dealt with it very decently, but also quickly and efficiently. So
you're obviously quite used to doing stuff like that.
I can't believe I'm talking to you, and there was a gentleman who was very keen on Jenna Coleman on the last panel, and
was he
telling her what to, you know, that he'd seen everything that she'd been in, and was, you could tell he was absolutely over the moon.
It was lovely. There was one in the audience, hello, something like that, and it was quite funny. But yeah, the questions on the whole, especially ones for the kids, were very very endearing.
Well, of course, being a part of my job was if somebody asked a question that had a yes no answer, was to add a supplemental but related one. But you know, I always wanted it was something I discussed before as well, the producer, was that, you know, people paid £70 to ask their heroes a question.
Yeah.
If I spend the first half an hour asking questions, many of which will probably be the questions that the people wanted to ask anyway, I am denying them that opportunity.
Yeah.
So that's why we stuck it straight out to the audience.
I didn't know. You say they paid £70. Was that something that was available on the sea tickets thing? Because I don't remember seeing that.
No, people paid £70 to go to the thing.
Oh, sorry, I thought you meant they paid £70 for the question. I do apologise.
Yeah, no, so, you know, they've spent good money to experience that thing.
Yeah.
I don't think it's for me to to sort of get in the way and deny them that. So I think that would be
exactly.
I think that would be unfair.
No, you're quite right. So. An interesting note you may not have noticed on the Saturday one, which is the one I saw, as they all trooped off the stage, Peter Capaldi left the door open of the TARDIS, and that didn't go down very well. Shut the door!
Oh dear, well, that's why I didn't see them afterwards. They'd all been reduced to the size of an inch of Planet of Giants. So somewhere around the XLR, an inch tall Peter Capaldi, Jenna Coleman.
I'm sure there's several inch tall Peter Capaldis, judging by the festival hall and things I managed to avoid buying.
Yes.
So in your leisure times, if you obviously didn't get many, because you said the day went past really quickly, what were you doing?
Well, I went to see the people at Big Finish to see how they were getting on, and ended up, because Beth Chalmers had been signing and she'd gone, so I ended up sitting next to Lisa Bowerman, who I liked very much.
Oh, I didn't know she was there.
Yeah, she was at the Big Finish stand.
I should have gone in there. Well, we avoided it because Debbie Melrose had a peek in there and said, I can't afford that, so I'm not going to get tempted, and didn't bother going in there.
Oh, no, Big Finish had Lisa Bowerman was there, Lisa Greenwood was there, Beth Chalmers was there. So anyway, I got there when Beth Chalmers had gone, so I ended up sitting there. And somebody, bless this lady, who bought a CD featuring Beth Chalmers and sort of asked me to sign it. And I went, oh no, I'm not her. And there's a picture of me on the back of the free Vortex magazine advertising the next Jago and Lightfoot. So I said, well, look, I'll sign that because I don't want to devalue a CD signing it anyway, but certainly not one I'm not in. but bless her, she I mean, the fact that she can't tell the difference between me and Beth Chalmers, I think it's probably better news for me than it is for Beth Chalmers.
I suppose you get that with audio presentations. You just close your eyes and imagine what the person looks like.
That's true. Yes, maybe they think the radio acting is so good, yes.
Yes, everybody think I look... people haven't seen me on the Facebook group. They'll just probably imagine that I look like Harry out of One Direction or something like that.
Absolutely. Well, you do, don't you?
Apparently so. So, how did it go? I mean, I'm interested to know, because obviously you have these panels and you've got three of them.
Yeah.
Was it different on each one, or was it a lot of like the questions you were sort of asking the cast yourself before the audience got involved? Were they the same sort of questions, or did you sort of wing it?
I asked different questions at most of them, except for on the last day, when I thought a reasonable way to open up was to talk about the previous night's episode, because they hadn't,
of course, yes,
up to that point, been able to talk about it. So that was a good way to start. I mean, very much my first round of questions was just sort of breaking it in, getting everybody relaxed, and then going on. So no, I asked different ones. There had been a suggestion that we keep it exactly the same, so that each audience got the same experience,
which would have not been very natural. I wouldn't have thought, really.
It wouldn't have been very natural, no. And I think, you know, that would have been an unnecessary edict for something that the individual audiences wouldn't really care about. If anybody kicked up a stink and said, well, you know, Jenna Coleman asked a question about Cold War on the Saturday, but she didn't on the Sunday, and it's my favourite story, so I feel like I've not had my money's worth, you know. I think that would be slightly churlish. Yes, we didn't want it to be robotic, and they, you know, they were happy enough. Nobody told me what I could and couldn't ask. They were happy enough to leave it to me, and you know, they asked everything that was thrown at them, and then we were in the lap of the audience. There was a couple of things I changed. For example, because it got to the point where three people asked, what's your favourite story?
I mean,
I did the thing that I did with the kid in the front row at every panel, which is I always choose a kid and go, you're my emergency question asker. So in case there's a sign, there wasn't going to be an issue at this one, but I just think it's a nice little trick.
Yeah.
Because sometimes at Q&As, there aren't questions, and it's embarrassing. So what I do, because it's just because people are shy, it soon warms up. So I always pick a kid and I go, your story is, what's your favourite story? You know, and I make a joke of it, because nobody ever asks that. And it makes it a nice thing for the kid, and it means they get a chance to go at the end and ask that terrible question. but if the guests are suborned, it's fine, you know. But I wasn't blatant enough on the first day, because then three people asked that. Three people asked what they're... Even though I'd already sort of set it up as a question for later, and by time number three, that person had clearly not been listening to the fact that it had been all asked to. So I think the last show on Saturday and the subsequent Sunday ones, I went, right, you know, kid in the front row, your question is what's your favourite story, which means nobody else can ask that question.
Yeah.
And that means that means what's your favourite episode is also not allowed. But even then, when I did that, a lady stood up and said, we've had a straw poll amongst all our friends. We'd like to ask Peter which classic series story he would most like his doctor to have been in. And I went, well, that's sort of what's your favourite story in disguise.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's obviously a very popular question. So there was that, and also, I think we just got a bit fed up of people saying, now there's a female master, can there be a female doctor?
Yeah.
We're going, we've got doctor and he's sitting here, let's talk about him.
Yeah.
So,
there was a good one on Saturday when they started suggesting that Stephen Moffat said, oh, you can get an operation. Or was it you? I think you might have said it, actually.
I think I did the jokes.
Yes,
because he said that he wants Peter to be Doctor Who forever.
Yeah.
That's the medical science suggests that still doesn't need to stop a female doctor. You could tell that they just didn't particularly, you know, it was just a bit of an annoying question. So I actually just said on the Sunday, look, don't ask that because it doesn't, you know, let's talk about the doctor that we've got.
Yeah, I have to say, were the people who asked the questions pre- sort of selected?
No, there's no way we could do that.
Because I wanted to warn my daughter next time, and obviously I'm hoping there will be a next time, because obviously if there were pre-selected, you stood up for the whole 40 minutes with her arm up in the air.
No, I mean it's a horrible thing, because you would love to get everybody, yeah. And especially when there's a room full of kids, and I think they mixed it up quite nicely, because you know the kids' questions aren't necessarily going to be the best, no offence, kids. And mix it up then with questions that have a wider interest, of course. So I think, you know, the guys on the floor have a near impossible task. So, they didn't know what they were getting, so they just had to do as many as they could and just try and get to all corners of the room so that everybody at least got a chance.
Yeah, we weren't best situated right at the back, to be fair, but we know that we were
right at the back, and in the middle of a row probably didn't help anybody.
We were at a side
these things have got to be quite streamlined. So climbing,
we got in quite late though, because obviously the programme said to be there half an hour before the show. And we sort of turned up at the relevant entrance and were shepherded away from that entrance, and then told by another person at the XL that we were going the wrong way. The entrance was the place we'd just been to, so we went back to that place, and then we were sent down to the side entrance and found a full auditorium which was still doing the previous show. So it was a bit odd, there was a few confused people, and that's how we ended up at the back.
Was that because were you on press tickets or anything?
No, it's just the fact that the auditorium is already full. So they sent everybody down through, because they had a great big hangar, which they were allowing people to queue in. They bypassed that hangar and sent us down to the side entrance, where they said no food or drink, which most people ignored, because they were using it as an opportunity to have lunch. Yes, so the next question, did you have time to be a fan during the day, or even during the weekend?
I watched Stephen's panel, with the special effects people, and I watched some of Matthew's panels with the writers, and I got to be a fan, but I just was looking at everybody on stage from a slightly different angle. Yes. Bloody hell. Although that's not quite true, because like, you do have to keep concentrating, and you've got one eye on the audience, one ear on the producer speaking into your ear, and telling you how long you've got left to go. But, you know, I think I'm just a fan with a very privileged position.
But a position you've worked very hard to achieve.
Well, maybe, yeah, I suppose so, but I'm...
No, don't be so modest.
But I still consider myself, you know, very, very fortunate to be... To get the opportunities that I've had, and I know my young self would be amazed. But no, yes. It's interesting, funnily though, because you know, when you're in the green room and they're there, you have to have your professional hat on. And much as I would have liked to have got a photograph with all of them, or the autograph of all of them, and all of that.
So that was leading on to my next question.
Yeah, go on then.
So, did you manage to get a few nice selfies and think photos on your phone? No, you didn't.
I feel. Because they are doing a job,
yes,
and I am there to help. I am doing a job too, which is to make them doing their job as easy as possible.
Yeah.
And you see, what I didn't realise, of course, until we did it, that they get whisked to us, get mic'd up over the chat, they go on, and I come off, and I go and have a cup of tea and do this, that, and the other, and they've got to go and sign or have photos taken. Blah, blah. So I'm sort of in the very little scant bit of rest time or acclimatization to the next bit, or it would be, I think, hugely unprofessional of me to go, oh, can I have a selfie? Can I have a picture? And there was an opportunity on the last day after the last panel, I think, but I just felt it would have been wrong to do that, so I just said thank you and shook their hands.
Well, don't feel too bad, because I have seen photos online of the panel or panels, so there are pictures out there of you on stage with them all.
Yes, indeed. That's what I sort of consoled myself.
I know there's definitely a video, because I shot it. Well, I haven't actually posted it yet. It's on my camera. I know.
I know there's part of me that maybe in 15 years' time, when I'm going through my scrapbook, going, oh, it's a shame I haven't got one of me and Mr. Capaldi. But I just felt that would have been an abuse of my position and unfair on him at a time when he was having a rare bit of chillout time.
Yeah, he was. I mean, they were running around from here to there on such tight schedules, and you could tell. Obviously, I queued for the photo sessions, and that he specifically looked like he was disappointed he wasn't able to spend more time with people. He was.
I think he genuinely was. He did say that. He said that just before we went in for the first one and the second one. He said it's really hard because he wants to see as many people as possible. Of course, he does, because people have. You know, people have come all this way, and you know, it's going to be something that they'd really like to do. But also, he doesn't want to feel like he's people on a conveyor belt and he's shoving them out. You know, so yeah, I think it's very, very difficult. But I know that he tried to do it as best he could.
Yeah, well, you did very well. Everybody felt that all the cast were really charming. Michelle Gomez was really funny. She just sort of did something different for each person, and I think she was just as busy as Peter was.
I think she's a hoot.
She's really brilliant. Of course, I posted to Alistair Pearson that I was going. He said something about Peter Capaldi online, and I said, well, I'll be meeting him in a few days' time. And he gave me a bag full of goodies to give to Peter. I said, well, I'll try. So I'm probably going to be hello, snap. But I did actually hand the bag to him and say, this is from Alistair Pearson. Basically, Alistair got wind of that Peter might have been a fan of his work. So he put a bag of goodies together for him. But of course, where he's so busy, I sort of handed the bag. He said, oh, thank you, it's very kind. He put it down by one of the lights and carried on shooting. And we weren't able to see as to whether the bag went on with him or whether he still had it at some point, and I don't know if his wife was sat in the corner or whatever, but I said to Alistair, well, I've done that, my part of the bargain, as I can't guarantee that he still had it at the end of it, but hopefully he did.
Yeah, well, I unfortunately had lots of, you know, texts and Facebook messages saying, oh, I'm going to be here with, you know, a couple of kids and it'll make their day if they could just say hello to Peter. And I just have to say, look, I can't do that. I couldn't have done, if my kids had been there, I wouldn't have done that because because everyone, you know, everyone wants that, but you
can't.
So you did well, I think, to get the bag to him.
Yep.
And I'm sure he did. I'm sure because he had an assistant who I think, you know, probably.
Yeah, it's probably what it was. The
bag, all that stuff up.
Yeah, the bag. The bag wasn't there because we went back into the room afterwards, and it wasn't where he left it.
I think they'll gather all that stuff up, and probably when he's got a journey to Cardiff, or maybe on the plane, you know, on the way to the plane in Australia or wherever they're going, they'll. He'll go through it all.
Yeah, hopefully. So, because it would mean quite a lot to Alistair for it to be confirmed that he is a fan of his work. So, and the one way of finding out, if he does get it, obviously there's some paraphernalia amongst it, and I suspect Peter will probably drop him a line somewhere along the line. But, because I've done my part of the bargain, so I achieved something there. Under very difficult circumstances, because they were quite, you know, he had to put your bags on the table, have your picture done, take your bags away. So, and of course, remember the girl in the audience who. Came up and gave Jenna a present, didn't she, during the one we went to?
A couple of occasions where people gave gifts. Or I think on the first day, people wanted to shake Peter Capaldi's hand. We did that.
Oh, I managed to do that. I'm quite pleased about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, yes. Thanks, Toby. I look forward to the next time you come on the show, and hopefully there'll be another Doctor Who festival to go to at least. And
I've done the 50th and the 52nd, so I'm not sure what the pattern is. Do we come back for the 54th? We've got to wait for 60 now. God,
I don't know if I can wait 2 years. I did last time, but it's such good fun. And we've now realised that we'd need to buy two tickets, for one for a Saturday and one for a Sunday. Just to sort of make it a bit more of a chilled out event, because it's such a, you know, here, there, and everywhere. And most of it is the best sort of queuing I've done, because queuing's not much fun most of the time. But when you get into the room and you see the actor there, sort of interacting and having banter with all the people coming through, that's very entertaining. And of course, your cosplayers as well around you. So the queue timing doesn't seem as long. Because of the fun you have while you are in it. So,
absolutely.
Best queuing experience I've ever had.
Good. I have to say, I thought it was pretty well. I was surprised to hear that you had that sort of being sent back and forth. But I largely thought that people were pretty. It was pretty streamlined, and people seemed to have. I thought it was very well organised.
I think it
certainly seemed to be from our side of things, because they're a devilish thing to try and pull off. And I thought. Yeah. I thought, and it was quite easy to get around. It wasn't too crammed anywhere.
It was brilliant because you went in, you had your picture, you walked away, you just said goodbye to the person, and there's a table there with your picture on it.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, 2 years ago it was, well, come back in an hour and we'll have your picture ready for you.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So I think I think they did a really good job, and I was proud to be part of the event. I mean, beforehand being asked, but afterwards I looked back and I loved it. It was great. I had a really nice time. And people are very nice and, smiley. And I saw a mum who was a weeping angel with a pram trying desperately to corral her two cyber children who were charging off everywhere. I think it was the best sight I've ever seen. I think it was just delightful. It had all the sort of hassle of, you know, what it's like controlling two children. The fact that all three of them were just like things there to Doctor Who was great.
The funniest thing also was these tiny, tiny two little kids, must have been about 3 years old, were beautifully cosplayed up, and Peter Capaldi trying to get down to have his picture taken with them. And they were so little, it's so funny, but adorable. But anyway, yes, well, thank you again, and
pleasure.
See you again next time.
Yes, indeed. Bum, 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 bum.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream. Make him the cutest that I've ever seen. Give him two lips like roses and clover. Then tell him that his lonesome nights are over.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APB Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.